This is PFW in progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Then you take us out on the field.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
You're nuts.
Yeah, a lot of people have been telling me that lately.
Well, you've got to be nuts. You want to work for nothing.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get
him. All right, welcome to the Paul Perillo Everett High School Football Show.
Oh, no.
What?
Why?
Paul doesn't like being associated
I
with Rudy in any way. In any way.
I like Rudy.
I thought Rudy was firmly implanted on your list.
No, well, Rudy is the epitome of the list, yeah.
Right.
But I like Rudy. I thought the movie was great.
Oh, the
it was,
movie, yeah.
You know, he who shall not be named who went off on a 20-minute tirade about how bad Rudy was, if you recall.
Speaking of not being named, it took Eric like 2 years to get in the open. Mike's been here a week, and he's in the open. F. Nuga. What is it?
FNG.
I almost said it again. I almost closed one show and opened the other.
All right.
You really can't be trusted whatsoever.
Welcome to PFW in Progress. We are here. It is Tuesday, the day before we travel, and that's the day before the Patriots will do their final,
which means
preseason game.
That was very
it's cut day.
Did you work on that?
What?
That was,
I was
a great
say
open.
We don't
no,
have a show Thursday.
But. Last day at camp, kind of officially today. By the way,
for them,
and
first day of cuts
for the players.
5 players are going to be asked to leave,
4 o'clock
or at least
today.
Go on some list
after right. practice.
So throughout the
Hold
day,
list?
Throughout the 2 hours today, we'll be going through the roster and doing our cutdowns or roster projections.
Thankfully,
and,
Mike brought a roster.
And
courtesy of Casey O'Connell,
as we did show prep.
Through
we
that,
this.
Wow, show
through
prep.
That, we will determine who we think
call this show prep.
Will be the guys on the outside looking in.
Dan,
only 5 today, though.
Yes, and they probably won't.
And they could all be IR. Who knows?
IR, PUP.
Right.
I mean, it could be all moves.
Yes. I don't expect any big moves.
Yeah. So don't look for any earth-shattering moves today.
Yeah, because the one guy I thought was Paul and I have the bet on number 17 in your playbook and
right.
number 38
no
in your heart.
No
Chad Jackson, I thought there was a chance early on that he could be an early cut.
Mm-hmm. The big cuts come on Saturday.
Is there a chance? Well, they're probably going to need all 3 quarterbacks, I would think, for the game.
Say,
is there a chance that
Brady,
one of the quarterbacks goes?
Castle limped off during the game.
Yeah,
so
right. They'll probably keep all three through Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, big cuts are Saturday when they have to go from 75 to 53.
Correct. Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
a big day. That's a big
That's
cut.
A big Twinkie.
Yep. All right, so webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We have a lot to talk about, especially the situation of the roster, which we're going to go up. But this fourth preseason game, is there a chance that guys who normally wouldn't play in a fourth preseason game get a little bit of time?
Like who?
Like Brady.
No.
And I'm saying that just because that's the way Bill basically says it. It's, you know, all these players are in individual situations.
Right.
So we attack Brady. My guess would be no.
No.
Matt Light.
Chance.
No. No. Too soon after he's come back from his injury.
Okay. Stephen Neal, no.
No, he's still on PUP.
Well, he's on PUP.
No, but you could activate him like virtually immediately. Add to your roster, Stephen Neal.
A guy that I think has a chance to maybe play that probably wouldn't have is a guy like Jason Webster.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Who recently returned to practice.
How about John Lynch?
He may play.
How about Lamont James Jordan? Sanders?
No.
He could play, too.
No James Sanders.
He could play.
Andy says no, Paul
I think the only
yes.
guys that play are guys that are in danger of being cut.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's who I
see,
think.
Listen, don't get into your hyperbole now.
John
Lynch and all of this. I mean, come on.
Innuendo.
Is there a chance, Fred, that John Lynch could be cut?
No.
None at all.
I think they gave him a little bit too much money.
See, I haven't found that out to be... I don't know for sure if that's true. Did they give him a $1.5 million salary, or did they?
I got some indication yesterday that
I don't think there's a chance whether there's money or not.
So he had bonus money? All right, so he won't be cut.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
But I do think some of those guys that have been back for a little bit in terms of injuries could play.
Okay.
But I don't think Brady will be one of them.
Lamont Jordan would be one guy who's going to play a lot, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think he needs it, number one, and I don't think he's any guarantee
to
make the
roster now.
You were in
on him today in the locker room, no?
Yeah, and he seems to think that he's going to get some playing time, and he understands his situation and knows that he's a little bit behind some other guys because he was out for a while, and obviously it's frustrating when you get hurt. And you get into this last game, and he's not by any means a starter anyway, even if he were going to make the team.
So running back,
he's a change of pace back.
Yeah, today was
Sammy Morris, among others. So
Chad
those guys will
play.
Chad Jackson, and he even talked about that yesterday, that he's going to play.
He's fighting for his
He's in danger of being cut, so he has to play.
All right, let's take it from the top then. Bill Belichick's press conference today, anything revealed, anything of note to talk about?
Wes Welker is doing all right.
he's doing all right.
Yeah, there were a couple of just ridiculous questions. Somebody, obviously, out of town guy, or a guy who's never covered the team before, comes in and says, "Can you talk about the health of Wes Welker?"
You know, I know that we think those are ridiculous questions,
yeah.
But I think they need to be asked.
They're not
ridiculous.
Not going to get answered.
They're not going to get answered, but they need to be asked.
So necessary evil. I think so.
Right.
Think so.
They're not ridiculous on another team, but on this team,
and they are, but they still need to be asked.
See, I think that one didn't need to be asked because he walked through the locker room yesterday. So, as an observer of the team, you saw him. You know, it's not a severe injury. You really think Bill's going to, like, well, he'll probably miss about 6 days from now. Like,
no, I don't think that Bill is ever going to answer them, but that shouldn't preclude you from asking.
But
him.
I'm
That's
saying
what he wants
you
have
all
wants
the
you
knowledge
to
you're going to get. He was around the locker room. That, as an observer
of
the
Patriots.
You
didn't hear me ask it, did you?
But beyond that, what do you want? I could see a guy, like, say we hadn't seen Matt Light at all, Reese, like, until...
The 3 weeks that went by from the time that we saw him until
then
he finally
it's
surfaced?
Fine. Then I think it's fine to ask about Matt Light. But
right.
the day
but no one did.
After Wes Welker is around, you know, he's around. So this is... He's day-to-day.
I just think that, you know, I know it's, you know, sort of really frowned upon in this team to talk about injuries, but I think as a reporter, part of what your readers want to know is the condition of the players who aren't playing and when they might return. And whether or not you're going to get the answer, I think it needs to be asked.
Some people want those two or three words that he says he's day-to-day. People just want that, and that's
just doing your job.
Yeah, I think doing your job is, as an observer, knowing that when a guy is not going to play for a while, he disappears. And I saw Wes Welker go from his locker to the weight room with his workout gear, and he's working out.
Right.
That tells me, based on my knowledge of the team, that he's not seriously injured.
I totally agree. Absolutely.
I totally agree with you. But what happens, Andy, if – and I saw exactly what you saw because we were in that part of the locker room when Welker walked through. It was in a blink. Mm-hmm. What happens if, say, you're talking to Lawrence Maroney, which is in the complete opposite end of the locker room, around the corner a little bit, and you didn't see Wes Welker? It's not like you weren't doing your job.
Well, but
you just missed him walk through in a second.
It was reported, so you can still use the information as a reporter.
But I'm saying that, let's flash to yesterday. You don't know what's going to be reported. Everybody reported it yesterday.
Right.
So if you were in the locker room yesterday, you missed that. Maybe if you didn't ask the question, you know, you're not going to get it from today, you would have found out.
I just think pretty much anything that comes out of Bill's mouth revolving around an injury is useless.
That's what I said.
What's the harm in asking?
I think he gives out misinformation at times. I mean,
he
said, you know, we're not really sure yet on that. And the next day, the guy's under the knife on a table somewhere. They were sure about that.
That's fine. Then just quote him on it. If he's being quoted on it, put it in.
The other question I found interesting was some reporter, we don't know who he was, basically came out and said to Bill, we know you're not going to keep five running backs.
Tim Weisberg, Standard Times, New Bedford.
Okay. And Bill didn't really take umbrage with that. Normally he would say, well, we'll do what's best for the team. We'll carry as many people as we have to. And he agreed with the guy.
If that was a regular person that was there every day, I think he probably wouldn't have answered the question as courteously.
I think he mistook it the way I mistook it. Because when the guy started, knowing it's unlikely you'll have five running backs, he said. But then he said, in the regular season, or he had a phrase in there that to me sort of led you to believe, or you could take as active on your active roster. And I think that's somewhat accurate. I think it's unlikely the Patriots will have five running backs.
I know, but you never ask Bill a question that can't be pinned down to exact words because, you know, he doesn't want to answer questions that can be vague or.
See, I think he loves asking answering questions that can be vague, because
he likes giving answers that are like that.
I think that that's what he's what he's looking for, because that way he can answer whatever question he thinks, and he can just say, "Well, that's what I interpreted your question as."
Generally, if you ask him, if you ask him a yes or no, he goes, "I don't know."
I was just surprised he didn't shoot down the fact that, well, it's not out of the question that we could carry five.
Right.
And he didn't shoot
it
down.
In that regard, Andy may be right. He may not have been looking at the question the way that you and I took it. He may have been looking at it in terms of the roster, and that's when he gets into the whole thing that those running backs aren't necessarily in competition with each other. Mm-hmm. They're in competition with other positions, depending on their special teams abilities.
Because, Fred, I don't know if you know, you have to stack your board both horizontally and vertically.
So, Fred, obviously, cuts and
Fred doesn't even know what that
stories, stories to do with cuts were a big part of the press conference. Bill talked about, you know, being the Turk, you know, once upon a time, way
bad
back.
Bad news,
in,
Billy.
The Colts. In Baltimore.
The old Colts.
You know, Andy tried to get him to kind of explain the whole process here and how they do it in terms of sitting down. Do they have meetings with the entire coaching staff? Kind of didn't really play along, I didn't think.
Yeah.
You just talked about evaluating constantly throughout training camp, watching the practice film with the entire coaching staff, and then he and Scott kind of sit down and work on the lists and the procedures that you have to do. But I was looking for some anecdotal kind of stuff with, maybe the receivers coach lobbying for,
I kind of said that like a couple times, like position coaches lobbying or any, none of that.
Yeah, he didn't really, I don't think that's the way it's done here. I think it's Bill and
And he also emphasized a number of times it's not done in a structured manner. As it's this is the meeting where we discuss the roster and who's going to make it. It's done
it's
throughout the course of film and practice review
over
the 30 days of camp.
You know, I was thinking the other day because Belichick mentioned, players play and we'll let the coaches decide how much they're going to play. And, you know, that's a coach's decision. Obviously, a player has in their control how hard they work and get the attention of coaches. But at the end of the day, the coaches will make a decision on how much they play. But do you think there'd be ever a scenario where a veteran, let's say it's a Lamont Jordan or a Sammy Morris who hasn't had a lot of reps yet in preseason, would go to coach and say, I know you probably weren't planning to play me in game four, but could I get some extra reps? Do you think that would ever be listened to by Belichick?
Sure.
I think I'm sure guys have done it in the past too.
I wouldn't word it like that, by the way.
But definitely with a guy like that you said too. Now if Tom Brady is going to Belichick and saying,
you don't think if Brady said, hey, could I get a first series and just
he would explain
well,
to him
not
why.
Not Brady,
maybe
per se.
In this particular case, in light of the fact that he hasn't played at
that's
all
what
in
I mean.
Preseason,
yeah.
Maybe he might take Tom's, words and say, look, he looks like he listens, he wants to have the time to kind of knock some of the rust off, then maybe he would. But I'm saying if Brady had played in the preseason and he just said to Bill, you know what, Bill, I want another preseason game. I want to get a cameo in this fourth game.
Right.
Bill would say, yeah, that's great, Tom. Go sit over there, put your hat on, and get out of here.
I think they would appreciate and respect a fringe player coming to them, understanding his situation, and asking for an opportunity to impress the coaching staff one more time. I think that would be taken into consideration. But I think they already have specific plans for veteran players.
I wouldn't
based
word it
on
the way
limited
Fred
reps.
Worded it.
Well,
I know you weren't planning on playing me.
Because
that's like an assumption that I'm on the roster or something.
I'm not talking about a fringe player. I'm talking about like an Adelius Thomas type player.
And maybe Bill
Lamont Jordan, in my mind,
maybe
is a borderline fringe player.
Exactly.
Bill may have already addressed a guy like that and said, you're not going to play Thursday. He
might
already know what he's doing.
That's what I'm talking about.
And now maybe the guy goes back to Bill and says, I know you didn't expect me to play, but is there any way I can get out there for a series or two?
Right.
I don't think they do that as much as we think either. I really believe the fact that Bill tells them all to
be
prepare
ready.
Like they're going to play.
Yeah.
And then at some point they realize, oh, wait, I guess I'm not playing. But I don't think it's all just coach speak or player. Like
I think there's a
I
very
they
small
really do that.
Group. I think there's a – Brady
is
probably included. And Adelius Thomas probably is one of those kind
but,
of guys. But because they know –
Sammy Morris, Kevin Falk, I'm sure are preparing
know.
Like they could go four quarters because
but,
at any point, Bill could say you're out there.
But you look at guys like Vrabel and Thomas and
small
Will
group.
Fork. You
small
know, guys
group.
Like – they know enough, Andy, when they're going through pregame warm-ups.
Right.
When the first team's out there and they're not out there, they know I'm not going out there in the third team. You know, so they know if they're not going to get their reps right off the go, they're probably not going
to
play.
One more question before we get to Mike and Sharon, who's on the phone.
He's been on the phone since noon.
No, I was looking at Randy Moss. Last year preseason, Randy Moss had the hamstring, didn't play at all in the preseason.
Nope.
This year, He seems to have played a lot for a veteran of his stature. Are you surprised at the number of reps that Randy Moss has gotten in the preseason games?
A little bit.
He played basically the first half of the Tampa game and into the third quarter of the Philly game, right?
Yeah.
Played very little in the first game.
I think
he played normal. He didn't play at all. Did he not?
He didn't play at all in the first game. I don't think so.
He played about he played like three series, I think, in Tampa, which was almost the entire first half because Tampa had the ball the whole half.
Because they were marching down the field the other direction.
And Philly, he played, I think, into the third quarter.
He did, yeah.
So
He's healthy.
Well, with Brady not in there, it's like, Brady's not in there.
All the more reason, though, you want to try to help.
You want the backups that play with who they're going to play with if they're in the game.
This is what I'm trying to.
In fact, I think the worst play, and I know Andy's going to jump on this because he's been taking all his cheap shots at Matt Cassel that he can, but the worst play I think that Cassel had all preseason was
Andrew Walter.
Play that Randy Moss
he was
totally disinterested in even going after
Fred, you remember that play? It was a crossing pattern. Cassel stepped up. He got a little off balance out of stride, and the ball was low and away from Moss, and Moss didn't even think about that. He just kind of pulled up, and it was pumping his arms, jogging. And I said to Paul, that was the Randy Moss in Oakland playing with Andrew Walter. Hmm. If we saw Matt Cassel for an extended period of time, I think some of the warts that have been on Moss's past would show through when balls like that are coming consistently.
It was the
he has no tolerance for mediocrity.
Well, I agree. Right. In the back of his mind, he's just thinking,
wide receiver
I'll jog to the bench, and next week at this time, Brady will be throwing that ball and hit me in the tips.
Right.
It's the equivalent of a baseball, the outfielder, when he doesn't even turn around and look at the home run.
That's tips.
Pitchers hate that.
All right. So as promised, Mike from Sharon's on the phone. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, although someone forgot to meet me on the red level last game.
Well, see, here's what happened, Mike. After that first half, I wasn't feeling too good after watching that first half.
Yeah, but I could have gotten you lobster rolls to make you feel better.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
How about for the opener?
Well, it's preseason, so, like, none of the big head honchos come down. But they were mainly kids in the box. And none of them were interested in the lobster rolls, which is supposed to be some of the best in New England.
Wow, okay. Well, I'll make note of that.
Who told you that, Fred?
Yeah, but now the preseason, now for the Kansas City game, that place is going to be full of muckety-mucks, right?
Yeah.
Do you get to go to those games, Mike? Do you go to in the regular season?
Well, I get to go. My dad owns two of the seats in the box. It was a deal done.
I want to just reiterate, Mike, I don't think we treat you with quite enough class and respect as we really should. So from now on, PFW is going to step it up with Mike and Sharon.
You are so transparent.
Does your dad want to buy an ad in PFW? Does your dad want to buy PFW?
We do subscribe, but they don't. The people who read, they're doing companies, you know. They're not lawyering for people, individual people. You don't want to know their rates.
Probably not.
Anyways, Ray Ventrone, I keep trying to put him on my roster, but I can't find a space for him. But I thought it was interesting what Belichick either said yesterday or the day before, that he was also meeting with both sides because, you know, I sort of figured, he'd be on special teams, but then he'd just be meeting just on the offensive side. But apparently he's meeting with Dean Pease and those guys, too. What do you guys think of that?
I think if Wes Welker to miss some playing time, then Ray Ventrone would be a natural fill-in.
You think so?
Obviously not Wes Welker, but he's kind of a slot receiver built from that same mold to me. Not as fast, but still can play that position. I think that'd be the one way he gets on the roster.
So you don't you
if
think
somebody
they,
like Welker goes on PUP,
you think they
for
would try
weeks.
To plug somebody into the same role as Welker rather than just kind of changing up a little bit?
Yeah, I think so because I think we saw that in the third game. That's where Ventrone
night. Absolutely, we saw that.
I don't know if that's coincidence or if that's just part of the plan. But to me, it looks like more of part of a plan than something else.
I agree with you to a point. I don't know if he would be an opening day starter.
No, not at all. But he'd have a chance
and the answer
to play.
Is no. He would certainly get reps, I think.
Well, see, I think he's hurt by the depth or lack thereof at a few different spots. To me, it's what Bill said today. He's competing with Kelly Washington and Sam Aiken and these guys who aren't really receivers. They're special teamers. Antoine Spahn who in the secondary. And I just think you have too many of those guys who are more suited to Kelly Washington could be your number four receiver if you need him to be, and he might be.
Yeah, and I think that if something were to happen to Welker, for all the good things that Ventrone, and I've been very impressed with Ventrone this preseason. I think he's done everything you could possibly ask for the guy. But I think Jabbar Gaffney would probably be the guy that they moved into the slot. in a more regular role, and they would probably have to roll the dice with Chad Jackson on the outside and mm-hmm. see if he could handle that as an extra guy. I also think, and Andy brought up a name, Sammy Parker got released yesterday. He's a guy that's kicked around the league a little bit, has some ability. I don't know, maybe if there was some injury or something that he hasn't responded from, because he would seem to be too young to be getting cast away this soon.
Five?
So he is a guy who's kicked around the league a little bit. Maybe.
My guess is they work him out.
And you know, the Patriots almost always pick up a receiver on Labor Day weekend. You know, and I know
the Jonathan Smiths,
the Doug Gabriels, those kind of guys. And I know that they've been in dire straits in
maybe
the past.
They should stop.
But I'm saying, it doesn't really matter for Ray Ventrone who that guy is. Do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how good the guy is. If they pick up somebody,
they got to make room.
Yeah,
well, I think Mike put it the perfect way. You want to put him on your roster, but you can't.
You can't find a spot.
Well, does Slater fall into the same category?
Well, no, because
that's another guy.
That's another guy. I left him out. But to me, he could be a legitimate kick returner.
Yes.
I don't think Ray Ventrone does any one job at a quote unquote, and I don't want this to be a
good
job,
enough. No, it's
legitimate
fair.
Level
yeah,
where he
fair.
Could be a starting
well,
safety,
Belichick
a starting
says
wide receiver.
If you only do one thing, it better be like, you know, you better do it amazingly, you know.
Right, and he doesn't have that one thing. He's got all the other things he does at a decent level that he could help you out. I just think he reeks of
I
a guy who's going to get cut and join the team in October when Sam Aiken gets hurt again and Kelly Washington gets hurt again. He joins the team and helps you out because my guess is you also love him more here than anyone else. Though I know they scout
the
games.
I think you can get rid of him. I think you can release him on Saturday, and if you need him in week five, you can give him a call and he's going to be there.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, a pretty impressive tribute that Bill gave him yesterday, talking about...
Cue up the ball washing music.
You know, talking about him being a tough kid, runs hard, shows up in the kicking game, and he just produces no matter where we've put him. And he talked about the stuff that Mike said about being in the defensive meetings, and they talked about this last year when he was on the practice squad because he was almost always serving as a receiver on the practice squad, and they looked at him in their postseason evaluations, and they said, this guy does a nice job doing these things, and that's when they first hatched this idea to try to make him a receiver.
I know we talk about, somebody's at the door. I can't
hey
forget
guys,
my question.
This is your favorite flight attendant, Karen. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's word of the day. I got that can of soda for you, Freddy. So put your seat back and tray table up and quit your bitching, huh?
Hey! It's Karen, one of the flight attendants.
Yes, our favorite flight attendant.
She wasn't on the flight, though.
Well, they rotate. But anyway.
It's a rotational.
Gary had to sneak this in because it's related to the
unlike
topic.
Unlike what the Rook Show is going to be like. Go ahead.
The topic at hand, and that is Ray Bubba Ventrone. So, in honor of Bubba, it's Bubba Chocolate. That's
Bubba
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Okay. Ooh. I think I know what that is. Anyway.
Yes,
give
me a guess. Go.
Has something to do with bubblegum?
No, nothing.
Oh, okay.
It's Bubba, not bubble.
No, I, but.
No, hi, but.
Question. What was I going to ask you again? We talk about football as being such a business and cutthroat and all that, but could you ever see a guy like Belichick, a head coach, and you've got a guy like Ray Ventrone who, you know, he'd love to have him on the team. The kid's done everything he could do, but he just doesn't have a spot, and so he talks him up, you know, believes what he's saying, talks him up, and hopes maybe he'll catch on with another team.
Oh, yeah. I think that's part of that is he can't repay him necessarily right now with a roster spot.
Right.
But he can repay him as Bill Belichick giving him a nice, nice recommendation. And this is what I have right now. I can praise you in the media. I can talk you up, try to get you a job. If not, at least Bill Belichick's praising you in the media
right.
and giving you that recommendation.
Right.
He's one of those guys I would see going back to the Jets if that were the case. Like the Jets saying,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, they like him that much. We already had him in camp. We know what he's like. They might just bring him back for that aspect of it.
Yeah,
for the spite of it.
I think he plays here this year at some point.
Really,
as the injuries last. You know, as Bill always says, the cut to 53. You know, really, you're going to see all 60, 65 of those guys on the team at some point.
Right.
I think Bubba Ventrone is one.
And
of those
he has no practice squad eligibility.
None.
So he's either on a roster.
He
or
ran
he's
out
not.
Already, and C.J. Jones has or hasn't.
I think C.J. Jones
is seven
out
or
too.
Something. Yeah. Who else? Wasn't there one other guy?
Spock.
Spock is out.
No practice squad.
Everybody PFW wanted to bury on the practice squad is not eligible.
Ooh. Sammy Parker, by the way, is the guy that Andy was talking about. 4 years in Kansas City. Never a full-time player. He did start 15 games one season. He's had you know, 36, 41, and 24 catches. So, it's, you know, he's had some production. You know, it was,
he's a Patriot, too, right? Like 5'11", 180? 5'10", 180?
5'11", 185. Yeah.
You know, slide him in there.
He's a guy that, you know, he's been in the league a little bit, has some experience, so it's not like a new unproven rookie who's never done anything.
What year?
He's in the fifth year and evidently didn't. He must have signed with the Broncos as a free agent. You know, he started 31 out of 47 games in Kansas City in 4 years. He went to the Broncos this year, and they cut him loose yesterday. Mm. Maybe it's one of those things they considered him one of those veterans that they knew wasn't going to make the team.
It
and they
feels
wanted to
like
cut him.
Give him a chance to catch on elsewhere.
But
I say sign him up. If we can't
catches,
make number 80, number 80, then make number. What number is he, Paul?
12.
He was 12, and we can't have 12 here in Denver. But 110 career catches, 1,500 yards, 7 touchdowns in 4 years. So, I mean, and really he didn't do anything his rookie year, so it's really the last 3 years.
Yeah, I'm just comparing him to, like, C.J. Jones. You know what I mean? He's more of an NFL receiver than C.J. Jones or Ray Ventrone.
Yeah, no question.
Or Matthew Slater or...
Well, Stripper says we were wrong on Slater's kick returns. He never brought the ball past the 50.
Who said he was going to?
Never brought it past the 30.
You guys.
Oh, that was like in week one.
You guys bet me.
That was a specific bet in week one, yeah. He was getting closer. He needed like 5 or 6 more, and he would have got there because he started at like the 17, then went to like the 22.
I forget what did we say. Did I say that he was going
to? That game.
Oh, we had a thing
in that game.
Yeah,
we had a thing that he would take one back beyond the 50.
Okay.
And I got criticized because you guys think that I don't like him. And I said no, and I just said it's hard to do that.
I think
evidently, unless you're
I guarantee
the
he has a
teams.
Touchdown this year. Well, yeah, that's true.
This year?
This year he'll have a touchdown.
I guarantee he'll bring it past the 50 this game.
I will say that if he
Giants, coming up the Giants, game.
If he returns kicks regularly for the Patriots,
I'm
if he gets
assuming.
20 plus returns, I think Andy's right.
He's going to have
he
a
returns
score.
One for a touchdown.
He's fast and fearless. I like that in my kick returns.
Andy, you like this
and
Broncos
he's been very close.
Guy. A lot of orange in there.
He's definitely the real deal.
Fred, you must like the Broncos. You already have this at
what
home.
What do you mean by the real deal?
I'm off the Broncos.
Just so you know, I think these kick return guys are a dime a dozen in some degree.
Oh, I don't think so. I think when you have it,
to me, the real deal, he has to do it over like 5 year span and has average 2 touchdowns a year. I think every year there's a guy coming out of college who has elite speed and is fearless and will run as fast as he can into the middle of that pack of players.
I actually think that position is somewhat overrated. And I think if you look at the way Bill has constructed the roster, he's used specific roster spots for things like long snapper. That's all they do. You know, special team, you know, Gerard Cherry types. That's all they've done. He's never really had just a kick returner. So I think that might be a glimpse into how
Bethel
he feels
Johnson
about
was
it.
Supposed to be more than that.
I don't think Slater should be anywhere but on the practice squad this year.
Really?
He does one thing.
Yeah, but
get somebody else to return.
I think
kicks.
He does it can change a game well.
When's he going to do one in the preseason? Because he hasn't changed anything yet.
Here's the thing that
he looks
I would
like
worry
an Antoine
about.
Spine. He's a great practice player. You put him on the field, he hasn't done anything.
I disagree. Wow. I think he's
what's
been
he
close
done
on
the games.
I think he was close on two last week.
He was close.
No
one cares about close.
I don't think that.
And I think
but
close,
I think one of them he got to the 38.
I
think when you can start a drive from the 35 on, that's a big advantage.
But that's enough to take a roster spot from somebody who could do two or three things.
I agree with
Plus,
Mike. I've seen it in practice.
Anybody can be a gunner.
In camp, on the camp practice field, I've definitely seen it. I haven't seen anything that made me say that he was any different than anybody else in the game.
We're talking about like he's a lock to make the roster.
Well,
he's far,
no, he isn't,
far,
but
far
no, he's not. I also think
the roster,
I also think
I think
on coverage he's consistently the first guy down there. He's you know the guy that makes.
But isn't he supposed to be the first guy down there?
I don't know.
Yeah, but Chad Jackson's supposed to be a good receiver.
No,
doing
but I'm
what you're supposed to
is
do
the first
is called
guy down
doing
there.
Your
I
job.
Mean, that's not necessarily.
I think it's rare though that you have a gunner who can return kicks almost as well as he can gun. You know what I mean? If I can say it that way, but
you can say
usually,
you
usually you have the gunner, or you have the returner.
Right.
I think was it Josh Cribbs is one of those guys who can do that too. But there aren't that many.
Right, and that's why I think that it's more than one thing, and I think he probably will make the roster. And I also I would side totally with Mike, but the options to me for kick returner.
Well, being
it's Hobbs and Maroney, and I think those guys are excellent at it. Well, we haven't really seen them.
They haven't really
given
him a chance, which I'm surprised at.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Thursday.
Those guys are excellent at it, but I just don't want to take that risk.
Yeah,
especially
it's a health issue
with Hobbs
right now because he's had some problems.
That's a thin spot. You know, the secondary could really get affected by losing one of those guys that has some experience. You know, not
and
that
he's
Hobbs
been getting
is
the
Champ
reps.
Bailey, but
he's been getting the reps this preseason.
Absolutely.
Which
I think,
I'm a little surprised at.
I think he's, to be honest with you, I think he's an excellent kickoff returner, and I don't think that Bill wants to take him out of there. I just think that the negatives outweigh the positives with having him do it. I just don't think that it's that valued of a spot. And I understand what you're saying, Fred, if you can get consistent field position, but I think you could probably get around the 32, 33, that's what they're looking for. And I think you could probably get that with anybody.
Oh, no, that the average is like 25.
28. And 32 is good.
I thought
the average NFL drive start is 28-yard line?
Bill says that's kind of what you're looking for the kick. And
that's what
32
you're looking for.
For the kick coverage. You're looking for the 28. Kick return, you're looking for the 32. I don't just make these numbers up. That's what they tell me.
That sounds weird.
32. If you can get,
no
Bill
idea,
says
so.
If you can get beyond the 32.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's great. But on the coverage, you're looking for the 28?
If you can keep
no,
to the
more
28,
than the 28.
28 and in, that's what you're looking for.
28 and in.
And in. So you're not beyond the 28.
Right.
Obviously not what they're looking for.
Well, but I'm talking about averages.
That's
not an average. He says you're looking for 28 and in. But what is the average?
Take the 17.
What is the average drive start in the NFL? That's what I'm
guessing. It's about the 28. If that's
well, I don't want your guess. I want to know.
I'm just going by what Bill tells me.
That's not what he told you.
Yes, it is what he's told
me. He says that. Oh, okay. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll start doing our roster stuff.
The Revolution have been on fire all season long. This summer, don't miss out on the hottest ticket in town. Saturday, August 30th, international superstar and worldwide soccer icon David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy take on the New England Revolution at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the Galaxy's only trip to New England this year and your only chance to see David Beckham. This game sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Get your tickets today. Limited tickets are available to the year's most anticipated match. Start at just $27 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant in Bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. The Revolution have been on fire all season long. This summer, don't miss out on the hottest ticket in town. Saturday, August 30th, international superstar and worldwide soccer icon David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy take on the New England Revolution at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the Galaxy's only trip to New England this year and your only chance to see David Beckham. This game sold out last year. Don't get shut out.
Get your tickets today. Limited tickets are available to the year's most anticipated match. Start at just $27 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. Or log on to RevolutionSoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
So it's 1:45, so Eric, we do need to get your fact of the day.
My favorite class in high school, acting.
Acting?
Acting, my senior year.
They had a class in your high school for acting?
St. Paul's, they have a class for everything, Fred. The most elite prep school in the country.
Who has gone to St. Paul's that made it elite?
Pompous jerks.
John Kerry, Hobie Baker, Judd Nelson from Breakfast Club.
Strippers ESPN? Ads that Don Sweeney.
That's right.
And Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Who the
f- is that?
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. And while we're at the break, a lovely lunch was delivered from the Stoneforge Cafe, courtesy of Steve in Edmonton. He says, I'm the bastard who offered lunch and didn't deliver. I didn't have access to a computer early enough to get my info, so he sent it now. And there will be food courtesy of that beady-eyed Canadian liar, he calls himself.
Thank you, Steve. It's tremendous.
Steve,
I think Andy called him that the first time.
Stepped it up enough.
Thank you. Paul, what'd you get?
Fat. Kansas City panini.
That was going fast, huh?
It was very small.
Was it good?
Yes, it was very good.
Eric, I had the same thing. It was very good.
Eric, what are you eating?
Better cheddar burger.
Better cheddar burger. Michael?
Same thing as Paul.
Same thing as Paul. Notice you haven't finished yours yet, though.
Really?
Oh,
well,
I'm only kidding.
You know, not really? A carnivore.
And Andy has some kind of wrap.
He has like a half a bite left.
I have a chicken Caesar wrap with a side buffalo chicken pizza.
And he has a whole pizza. So,
which is sharing, and everybody's already had some.
Gary,
I haven't had any.
Gary brought in cookies from the missus. Some kind of
those
chocolate cookies Easy with Rolos in
recipe.
Them. Easy Bake Oven.
We're all dessert guys here.
So that's great.
Very funny. She's 32.
And I have a chicken Caesar salad, which Andy was sure to tell me has as much fat as a burger. So,
well, if you like chicken Caesar salad, that's fine. But if you're doing it to avoid eating calories and stuff, that's not getting it done. Caesar salad dressing loaded with fat and
He's
calories.
Right, Fred. Hate to admit it.
What if you don't use a lot of dressing?
Well,
I think you
did.
You did.
I didn't ask you to comment on me. I just said, what if you don't?
Then obviously, plain lettuce does not have a lot of calories and fat in it.
And chicken is good.
Right. Now, cheese. You all got on there. You got Parmesan cheese, right?
I don't see it.
Yeah, I do. I can see it from here.
Why don't you just shut the hell up? All right. We said we were going to get to the rosters when we came back, and that's what we'll
do. We're
where do we want to start? We want to start with
quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks. Okay. How many are they keeping? Who is it?
Three. My gut tells me they're gonna. I think they're gonna keep four.
On the active roster, really? I don't think there's any chance they keep four.
No, I don't think they're going to this year because I think they need the room for the other stuff we were talking.
They're
about.
They're too thin at other positions to keep
yes.
four quarterbacks that they really don't need.
Brady, Gutierrez, O'Connell. Until
they
cut Gutierrez and sign a veteran.
Can't argue with that. I thought it was a tough call this year.
Right?
I thought, Freddie, there was a chance they would try to get O'Connell to the practice squad. But I asked Bill about that today, and evidently, when you get cut on Saturday and you have that waiver period, you know, at 12 o'clock on Sunday is when you're notified by the league if any of your players were claimed off waivers. Evidently, the players that get released and are on waivers do not have the option of not accepting their claim. If someone were to put a claim in for O'Connell, he'd have to go.
And somebody would.
And someone would, I think, with a third-round pick.
Now, they wouldn't be claiming him from the Patriots practice squad, so could you claim a guy off waivers and then put him on your practice squad?
No. If you claim him, you're claiming him to your roster. You're claiming his contract. You're claiming him. So if somebody would.
This happened last year with the Patriots, with Garrett Mills. Minnesota claimed him and put him on their roster, and the Patriots in turn claimed a linebacker, David Heron, from Minnesota.
Good kind trivia of question.
Kind of a little tit for tat.
The only way
one worked out.
The only way Kevin O'Connell doesn't get claimed and immediately go on a team's active roster is if the Patriots grossly overdrafted him and everybody else really hated him and everybody else was like, really, they're taking him in the third round? We had him as a 7/free agent. But I find that hard to believe. I mean, he had a good combine. There was plenty of chatter. And I just, I think he would get one other team. Right.
He would get picked up if he were cut.
So what's our consensus?
Well, I'm saying three as well. I just don't
know which three.
Okay, good.
The one and the three are solidified.
You know what, though?
Yeah, the one and the three are
locked
in.
If they do have their eye on a veteran right now, maybe they just keep two, and they bring that third on from the street.
Just O'Connell and Brady?
Maybe.
I think that's a dangerous game to play.
That's a big risk.
What if you trade Gutes for a six?
What?
It's a possibility.
You know?
I personally think Gutierrez is the odd man out just because Castle has the experience as the backup. And you have to keep O'Connell if you invested a third-round pick in him. So what are you going to do with Gutierrez?
It's a solid argument. They've been comfortable with Castle as the backup for 2 years. Why would they not be comfortable
now? Why not now?
That's a solid argument. I can't argue that. My argument would be he's plateaued, and the end of the road here at either way at the end of the season. Keep Gutes. You like Gutes.
Right.
You
think
maybe
he has more.
Can develop.
Right.
He hasn't plateaued, but I think your argument is just as good as mine.
Yeah. So what's
it's
the
a sound one?
What's
we don't
the
have a consensus,
okay?
But
what's
split?
The bottom
so
line?
So let's vote. I vote Gutierrez stays.
Okay.
I second.
That's two votes for Gutes.
I vote that he goes.
I vote that he goes as well.
I'll vote for Gutes staying.
So Gutes stays. Woohoo! 3-2, baby.
So it's Gutes, O'Connell,
right. I think we all
and
agree.
Brady.
O'Connell and Brady are going to stay.
Yeah. The one and the three.
Anybody want to vote on Brady?
The one and the
so
three.
So I should
I
circle this on my little seven. Roster that's covered in blue cheese now?
Yes.
Thanks to Andy dropping a piece of pizza.
Now, O'Connell didn't play in the last game at all.
I give the
Could there be an IR injury in his future?
Who?
O'Connell.
He didn't play at all?
Cliff Kingsbury?
I think we just avoid speculating on injuries.
Wouldn't be a big shock, though.
No, I would not be stunned if he's IR'd.
That's the only way you could keep all four.
But I think we should just...
And I also think...
It's broken!
What makes this a little bit tougher, Fred, nowadays, if you come up with a minor injury for O'Connell, which I have no doubt that he has a minor injury of some sort, at this point in camp, who out there is not dealing with something? But if you put him on IR... The way they're watching now, I'm not sure you get any development out of them. Because I'm not sure how much you can get them out on the practice field, you know, not under the watchful eyes of some, you know, league lapdog that's going to be blowing the whistle on them.
Yeah.
I think that's a dangerous game.
Okay, so O'Connell, Gutierrez, and Brady are our quarterbacks.
Okay,
so
that's three.
Three out of 53. Okay, let's go to wide receiver. This is a tough one. Should
Moss,
we skip this one
Welker,
right now?
Moss,
Gaffney,
Welker, Gaffney,
Jackson.
Washington.
Okay, you're throwing Jackson in there.
Oh, yeah.
I think Jackson's in there. I think he has to be
by default.
They don't have anybody
else. So six wide receivers?
I wouldn't take six. I think they need depth at other positions. They can't afford to keep six guys, especially a sixth who really can't play.
I think they keep Kelly Washington.
Six.
So okay. he's number five.
Five.
Right.
If you're keeping Chad Jackson.
Right. And I think they keep one more. I do. And it's going to be the
Slater. You would take Slater, probably.
Well, maybe you hold off on Slater, and maybe you slide him in as a defensive guy, if you have room there.
No.
I like C.J. Jones, but he doesn't have a role right now. There's just no spot for him. But I think he's a pretty good deep threat, or could be one.
I just think he's too inconsistent.
Me too.
He had a good game against the Eagles, and he had a horrendous game against Tampa Bay.
Well, too old, so is Jackson, too.
Too old to be that inconsistent.
Or Baltimore, which one was it?
He was terrible.
He's only a two-year
Baltimore,
player.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been around the league since, like, 02.
He was drafted in, like, 1996.
I think that you go with a younger guy. I think it's Slater. Or, you know, and the other thing that throws a big monkey wrench into this is Sam Aiken.
Don't take food out of the garbage, Gary.
Aiken hasn't played. I don't see any role.
Gary's mad because he took a bite out of the pizza and threw it away.
But if Aiken's healthy, he's, in my opinion, a lock.
He did?
Cut it with a knife, you animal.
I don't know if he's healthy.
I'm just going to assume he's not because he hasn't been out there at all.
Been in the locker room, though.
Good point.
Oh, so is Wes Welker.
That's my point.
That doesn't really mean anything to me anymore.
So I think Aiken could be cut.
I think he could be, too.
So we're taking five or six here. Are we going to take six with Slater?
I vote six and Slater six.
Slater is my sixth, but
it's unanimous. Or
so
it's not unanimous.
At least
you guys
majority.
So poor Bubba.
I just don't see. I don't see a spot.
I really want to keep him though. Somehow.
How deep are we going here, receiver seven?
No, but I know. I'm saying I'd like to, but I just don't think we can.
Okay. All right. Let's go to tight end.
44 spots left, guys.
Let's go to tight end.
Three.
I got three.
Three. You got Watson, you got David Thomas,
Spock.
And Steven Spock.
Spock.
More over DeVries.
Yes.
Yes.
DeVries.
You don't like DeVries?
No.
Not really.
He had a good
his
game.
His mother doesn't like it when you call him DeVries.
What's his name?
DeVries. No S. Singular.
It's only one of them.
It's from the German derivation of...
derivation?
For the hell of it, I'll play devil's advocate.
Jonathan Stupar, who let off Michael's.
No, I'm not talking about Jonathan Stupar. My point is, if you're going to keep five running backs, you need to keep three tight ends as well with five receivers.
Solid argument.
Well, that would be.
I would use Heath Evans as my third tight end.
That would be one
exactly.
of the spots.
Exactly. I don't
that you
think they need three. I don't think Spock hasn't even played.
The reason I think
put
that
a
you
question
need...
mark so we can revisit that when we get down to 53.
All right, let's
the reason
let's not
I think
settle
you
on that
three
now.
Three tight ends. Can I make a counter argument?
No.
Sure.
No. Andy said no.
I say yes. Go ahead.
Okay.
He's eating. He's stuffing his fat
well,
face.
Well, it's because a lot of the backup tight ends that you've used in the past along the offensive line are either currently starting or hurt.
Yes.
Guys,
but
like
that
Hope.
Could be playing into shape, right? I mean, well, Light comes back. Britt now becomes available for that
hope.
Role.
We
Hochstein
hope.
Is
still kind of iffy.
He was in the locker room today, though.
Boy, we're really putting a lot of eggs in that locker room basket.
Well, that's all we have
come
right
on.
Now.
This is
well, you
this is
chastise a guy for asking a question when there was a guy in the locker room.
No, I chastised him because he asked 17 bad questions.
Oh, he asked a lot. Of
everybody
questions.
Gets one bad question.
Well, he got several. He has
he was
nine
right today.
What are you looking for?
Why don't we move on to running back?
I like running back.
Let's
easy.
Settle. Yes,
I
it
think
is
it's
easy.
Five and done.
I think it's five.
Okay,
yep, I agree.
Then it can't be three tight ends.
We'll get there.
Five and three is eight.
I'm telling you, it can't.
Six
is 14. And three is 17.
Three is 17.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the offensive line, which they're going to need a lot of help there.
Eight linemen.
They're going to need a lot of help.
They do. They have nobody.
What do we have?
Let's do the O-line.
17 and eight is 25. You could do that easy.
We're down to 39 spots left.
Okay,
not
let's go.
Starting with tight ends.
Light, Mankins, Copen.
Neal starts on
Kasher.
I say.
See, I think Neal's going to start on the active roster.
Really?
I don't think he starts.
And herein lies the problem.
See,
he's in the locker room.
I don't think he starts on PUP because I think he'll be ready before week seven.
Right. That's my point. I don't think
now,
he
whether
been,
whether
we
or not he's ready for week
team.
One, I don't think that we don't know that.
I'll go with Neal
during
as well.
Our fire drill today. He was doing a nice job stretching out on the sidewalk.
Fred, you have no input in any of this?
No, I'm just listening.
Light, Mankins, Copen, Neal.
Wesley Britt.
Wesley Britt. Britt.
Hochstein. Yates.
And Yates.
That's
eight. So that's my
good.
Eight.
That sounds good.
None of the new
O'Callaghan's
veterans
out?
Make it.
O'Callaghan's out.
And none of the new
two
veterans.
Wow.
That's where I'm getting a spot on the offensive line. I'm finding a spot.
How about Jerk Wellborn?
Not making it.
So Ryan O'Callaghan
in the
out.
So does Eric.
I think Ryan O'Callaghan might end up on IR.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
How's that?
I had to. He's
Ryan O'Callaghan's going to end up on IR.
Hey, revisiting that kickoff
IR today.
Who
I
do
agree.
You think
okay, good.
In the league had the lowest average kickoff return last year?
How Devin Hester.
As a team, you mean?
What team?
The Bears.
Bears. It's true.
He's a big play guy.
18.4
I've seen
yards.
Him have a lot of carries that don't go
wait,
very far.
What is that? The average drive start?
Kickoff return. 18.4
speaking
yards.
Of Barack
Obama. Average drive start?
No, kickoff return. That's what it is.
That so was average drive start.
No, from where he started
so
to where he ended, he gained 18.4
okay,
yards.
Okay, so that's a big difference.
I'm not, Paul. This is not arguing with you. It's just a fun fact.
It's just a fun. It's fun to have fun.
But all right, have fun
with my fact.
Okay.
The best in the league was 27 yards by the Browns. By the way,
can we go back to Devin Hester? Because this is what I, not arguing with you to get you mad at me, but I'm a little confused.
Can you go back to the rosters?
Are you telling me that Devin Hester only got 18 yards on his return, so it had nothing to do with the 18-yard line?
That's correct.
Okay, so that tells me that they never kicked the ball to him.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so where was their average drive?
But I think if you ask most people who had the lowest average, they wouldn't say the Bears because of Devin Hester.
I would agree with you, but that's not an indication that he didn't do a good job returning kicks if he was getting the ball at the 20 and getting it to the
38. Paul, you're getting very defensive. This is nothing. This is not about you.
Wait a minute, Fred.
This is not about the discussion that we just had.
Why are you trying to start a fight?
You are the one that you're getting all uptight.
I'm trying to understand the stats.
Okay, but this is not.
Oh, no, it happens over more ridiculous stuff.
This doesn't have to do with the discussion we had about average kickoff return. Okay?
I understand that. I'm trying to understand the stat that you're giving me.
Dude,
and right now, I don't understand it.
Last year,
is the point of how many yards a guy gets on a kickoff return?
The highest average kickoff return in a season ever. What do you think it was? Ever.
31-1.
29.4 by the Bears in 1972. The lowest average kickoff return. Who do you think that was? Jets in 1993, 14.7 yards.
That was really interesting. Not.
That's provided by strippers.
And I still don't understand it.
What don't you
but
understand?
I guess, where is he catching the ball? Where is the drive starting? Is what I'm trying to find out.
Okay.
Well, this is just
Josh writes in.
This doesn't.
Josh writes in.
Devin Hester might have been.
That doesn't take
Devin
into
Hester
account.
Might have been one of the best kicked in the league last year, but he only had 18 yards per return. Is my point. I don't know. Are they kicking it out of bounds and they're getting the ball
at
the
40-yard
line? I understand
that. This is just when he caught the ball and ran.
Right. Did he catch the ball at the 30 and run to the 50? That's what I want to know.
Oh, well, that's a different stat.
That's a different stat.
Exactly.
That's drive start.
Exactly.
That's what
I'm trying to figure out when you're yelling at
me. I explained this already. Now, Chicago led the NFL in average starting field position after kickoffs. Right. The Bears offense started the Bears last year.
Interesting. Okay.
Why is he acting like this?
Because in one breath you said Devin Hester was the worst in the league, and the next breath you're saying Chicago had the best drive start.
I never said Devin Hester was the worst in the league.
I think the quote was, I think if you asked a lot of people who had the worst kickoff return, Devin Hester wouldn't be the guy they guessed.
That was his point.
That's
why it's a fun fact.
That's why
who
it's
had
a
the
fun...
worst in the league, he said. Devin Hester.
Kick return average.
But I don't think that's accurate. That's all I'm saying.
Paul, what
saying.
Are you talking about? You've lost your mind.
I just told
fighting
you
the number. He's fighting the actual number. 18.5.
Right.
He's punching it.
Now, Chicago still led
the league in.
Chicago still led the league in average starting field position after kickoffs as the Bears offense started on average at their own 33.7 yard line.
Right.
And they led the league in that.
In average starting.
Right. Okay.
But no one was arguing with you. You were having this.
You called him the worst in the league. That's all. That's the only thing I was disputing. That's the only thing that I was saying.
Didn't he say who had the worst kick return average in the league?
Right. That's not me calling them the worst in the league.
That's Fred pointing out the fact.
That's the fact.
Okay. You were calling him the worst in the league. You can say
no. His point was,
Devin
Hester is the best in the league at kick returns, but based on kick return average, the number is the worst.
The Chicago Bears.
Okay. That's why it was, quote, a fun little fact.
We can do what we like to do.
What we call irony.
Paul,
we can do what we like to do.
So how long are we going here?
What is wrong with you? Why are you getting so defensive? This had nothing to do with trying to discredit you. I am making it. This is
not my stat.
This is hysterical. This is
a fun fact.
It's a fun fact.
Yeah,
it's fun.
It's a barrel of laughs.
It's one of those things that you wouldn't have guessed.
This is worse than the coin toss.
That's all.
I haven't had
really
this much
is.
Fun in
it
years.
It all comes back to the stupidity and the mundane, long, drawn-out
arguments.
What
is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you?
Why is there going to be something wrong with me?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Did the food not agree with you?
Yeah, that was what it was.
He needs more. Dan, can you order him another wrap or whatever he had?
Plenty of pizza still left.
Sit there and do what you always do and make fun of me, but that's fine. I don't care. All
I
know is
I don't get
all
it.
I know is Chicago had the best average drive start in the league. That's all I know.
To save us some time, I cross off the three specialists.
In light of time.
In light of time, due to time restraints from this dumbass argument, we're down to 28 players
now. And you wanted to do the whole roster.
We are.
We are. Okay.
We were fine when we were doing the roster. Is when we got on this ridiculous fun
fact. It's all
fact
Stripper's fault. He's the one who starts emailing.
What's wrong with the fun facts?
Let's go. Because they're not fun.
Let's move on.
Thank you, Michael.
All right,
thank
28.
You, Michael.
I don't know about keeping three tight ends now, but
Strippers,
if you guys,
thanks
if
for
it's
the
unanimous,
info.
Then I'll have to
okay.
cross
well,
off.
We, can
we still
back.
Want three. No, we're going to do offense first.
No, but my point is when we get to the end, if we have 54 and we need to cut somebody, we can come back.
To either running back or tight end.
Right.
Yeah, we'll that's when you defense. Go back and you start saying, okay,
sake.
Take him out,
right.
take him in.
All right, defensive line.
Defensive line. Seymour, Wilfork, Warren.
Jarvis Green.
Green.
Yep.
Right.
That's Mike Wright, not correct.
Fajita.
Mike, correct? No.
No, we're not going with Fajita.
I know. He's not going to make it.
Lakeven
so,
Smith,
Lakeven?
IR, something here. What's going on? He
I think Lakeven's a good IR candidate.
Santonio Thomas, out the door.
I don't know. He's been getting
what
some
reps.
What
does he really do? In all honesty.
But he's a...
I think you just end with what we just said and go on and then see
just
what
the
you
five.
Can what you
five?
Can put back in.
Okay, linebacker. Teddy Bruschi.
Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah.
See where you end up.
Gerard Mayo.
Yep.
Mayo.
Larry Izzo.
Adalys Thomas.
Adalys
Larry
Thomas.
Izzo. Vrabel. Blake Vrabel.
Yeah.
Pierre Woods.
Yep.
Yes.
Vrabel. Yeah.
Now it gets a little dicey.
How
I don't
many
think
we
Hopkins
just use
is
up
make
on
it.
Linebacker.
We've used seven.
Oh, we got at least one more.
Vince Red.
I think I had eight.
Eric Alexander.
He's in. Yeah. He was off my paper one, but he's in.
No one calls field goals in practice like he does.
And Vince Red will be on the practice squad.
Mayo.
Until he signs Mays. With another team.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Crable?
Yeah, we got
Mayo.
Him.
You got him?
So yeah, we've got eight. I think we're going to settle
eight.
On eight.
Okay, yeah. Go.
I think we had eight in the paper.
Don't rush
us
out.
But Alexander,
all of a sudden now we're in rush mode.
Does that leave us at 20?
We have over
that
an
leaves
hour.
Us in 20. Yeah, but I don't want to do this right now. I really don't.
Well, you have to go to practice.
All of a sudden, Mike Parenti's taking over the show here.
Which started about 5 minutes ago.
I'd rather pluck my nose hairs out one by one than do this. But okay, anyway, defensive back.
That could take a while.
Drive.
Yeah, it could. Us Italians, you know, it's like a party favor.
Wow. You'll be here all night.
DB.
That's you.
Oh.
Rodney Harrison.
Yes.
Okay, Harrison.
Ellis Hobbs. Brandon Merriweather.
James Sanders. Merriweather, yeah.
Sanders.
He's not hurt enough to go
not
on
enough
IR.
To go on PUP.
I don't think so.
He can't go on PUP.
What?
He was in the locker room.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
I didn't see him.
He was breathing, so he's okay.
Yeah, Wheatley.
Yeah.
Yep.
Five.
Wheatley.
Will Hite.
Fernando Bryant.
Fernando Bryant's a definite. He's on a start, probably.
John Lynch.
Brian Lynch.
John
that's
Lynch.
Seven.
Apparently he got bonus money. You can't cut him.
Okay.
Keep writing him down.
That's seven I got right now.
We need ten.
They don't have 10 good defensive backs.
See, this is where
James Sanders. I'm sorry,
Slater
gets moved in.
Slater gets goes in there.
Slater is not a candidate to play defense.
No,
no, but he has. So you're going to put him in as a specialist?
He's a wide receiver.
It doesn't really matter.
We've already added him.
He's
a wide receiver
who plays special teams.
We've decided unanimously on him at wide receiver.
Okay,
so he's in.
All right,
Antoine Spahn.
You.
We're going to keep Spahn. I know he's had his ups and downs.
I think Spahn is in
valleys.
I don't like him.
I think Spann's
in. Getting a lot of playing
time,
so I think.
I think Spahn is in, but
he is
you know he's
in.
Certainly not a lock.
That gives us seven. We still have.
What about Lewis Sanders?
Did you have Jason Webster on there?
Well, I actually, automatically circled Lewis instead of James Sanders.
Jason Webster. Is he in there?
He's on my list, but
I haven't seen enough of him.
So you got Webster, Bryant, Hobbs, and Wheatley at corner.
I think Will Hite stays.
I don't know.
It's part of the sub defense.
Well,
over,
I think he might
over
end up
Mike
Will Hite might
squad.
Get on the practice squad.
But he'd have to
clear
waivers, too.
I mean, we don't have enough guys.
Then you have.
Now suddenly we don't have enough guys?
Then you have.
I mean,
Harrison,
keep beating.
Merriweather, Sanders, Lynch, Spahn. That's nine. I had five safeties and four corners. That's nine. Now,
I've
if you want
eight.
Another one.
Who am I missing again?
Troy Brown.
I had.
Wait.
I'll do them again. Ellis Hobbs.
Yeah.
Terrence Wheatley,
uh-huh.
Fernando Bryant,
uh-huh.
Jason Webster. Four corners.
Yeah.
Rodney Harrison, James Sanders, Brandon Merriweather, John Lynch, Antoine Spahn.
Oh, yeah, I can't count. I'm sorry. That's
five safeties. So now if you want a 10th guy, you're fighting between Lewis Sanders and Jonathan Wilhite in my mind.
What about I would pick Mike Richardson for the Mike Richardson fans out there. There are some
so
of those.
So you're fighting between Lewis Sanders and Jonathan Wilhite, if you're asking me.
Why not Raven Trone?
Why not Raven Trone?
Special teams guy. He's not going to play a down of defense. So it's basically.
No, but Larry Izzo isn't either, but he goes in as a linebacker.
It's true. Okay, Fred. Move away from the gun.
Mayo!
Okay.
What is his problem today?
I was like, it's a special teams guy, not leave on the defense. Gun. Well, Larry Isso doesn't play defense.
Leave the gun.
Take
leave the gun.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Check it out.
That could be a spot that you find a spot.
So I think that's where you could squeeze in Ventrone, personally.
Or you could cut a roster spot. I agree. Merriweather and Spann.
You might not need 10
who can
anyway.
Both play corner. Both have corner track records, yeah. So they overlap. They're tweeners.
I don't think you need more than four corners anyway.
All right,
They've had three in the past.
Right. Let's revisit then.
All right, so if we keep nine.
Are we going to end up with a 48-man roster here?
Now we're down to 11.
But that's good. Let's now, say we take, now we go
wait,
back.
Wait. We take nine defensive backs and three tight ends, and we take five linemen.
Paxton.
That leaves us with three
They're
spots.
Wait, Kaskowski. You only took five defensive linemen?
Right, we're going to go back. We're going to start adding back.
I think now, as it stands, we've got three spots left.
It was my understanding.
And you've already got Paxton, Kaskowski, and Hanson?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've taken... You okay, Andy?
Hiccup.
Oh. All right, we've taken... so far, with five D linemen, nine... Oh, Christ.
Oh, boy.
Why is the monkey?
We should have let Eric do this.
I screwed this up big time.
You were keeping track down the side here.
I was
doing 20.
Oh, no. Okay, no. We're right. We're okay. We're all right. We've got three roster spots left.
Okay.
So you want another? Yeah, you can have three guys.
Okay.
You want
defensive lineman? Santonio Thomas.
Okay, let's take Santonio Thomas. I just put my finger on a tomato. Nice.
Okay.
You putting LeKeven on IR?
Sure.
Why not?
I'm certainly.
I
not
got two roster
all
spots based on what we did.
Yeah, two roster spots left.
And you kept
why not, why
five
not another,
running backs?
Yes.
Okay.
Did and we keep
kept,
Spock or not keep Spock?
Yeah, we kept three tight ends, too. So we have some
really?
Run over here.
Sam
so.
Aiken is on my roster. Put him on there. Veteran special teamer.
Yeah.
Because I think that's going to shake itself out. Slater might get cut 2 weeks into the season. Aiken might
well,
get cut.
Well, they never
cut
have a whole
season.
Healthy roster of wide receivers anyway, so let's assume
plus,
guys
to be
hurt.
Honest with you, of those guys that I want to see forced into action at wide receiver, based on training camp, it's Sam Aiken is the answer. I want Sam Aiken.
I'll go with that.
Aiken
that
and 08.
One. All right, who gets the last spot? Mr. Irrelevant. I say you could keep an extra linebacker, but you might want a 10th defensive back.
Vince Red.
Dan Klecko.
I like Vince Red.
No, Paul doesn't like Vince Red.
I don't like Vince Red as an extra linebacker because I don't know what he can do on special teams.
Did we have Guyton in the first round?
Well, he didn't move on special teams. Remember when he was covering kicks, Paul, and he
we
was
have not chosen
Slater?
Guyton yet, so it could be between Guyton and Red.
Oh, we have Gary Guyton on there? No. Oh, Guyton is the answer.
That's what I said before.
That's why I said I don't like
listen
Vince
to you.
Red as an extra guy.
So Gary Guyton
special teams.
Makes the team.
That's it. Roster set.
Sneaks under
put
there,
in the
Fred.
Book.
All right, so why don't you read the roster?
Please
no one try to decipher any of this because I'm not sure that we even have.
All right,
I'm not even sure
we're going
to
read this whole roster down.
Send
the views expressed
down.
On this show do not necessarily express those of the Patriots management, players, coaches, or
whatever
else.
Brooklyn. We're just trying to get that quarterback to center exchange down.
Okay,
he
we have
that on the radio yesterday.
He did twice. That's what he was most upset about, the two plays that they fumbled the snap.
Okay.
With Gutierrez and Castle.
Go.
Start off on defense. Six defensive linemen, Jarvis Green, Richard Seymour, Santonio Thomas, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork, and Mike Wright. Nine linebackers, Eric Alexander, Teddy Bruschi, Sean Crable, Gary Guyton, Larry Izzo, Gerard Mayo, Adalys Thomas, Mike Vrabel, and Pierre Woods. Nine defensive backs with Fernando Bryant, Rodney Harrison, Ellis Hobbs, John Lynch, Brandon Merriweather, James Sanders, Antoine Spann, Jason Webster, and Terrence Wheatley. On to offense. Eight offensive linemen, Wesley Britt, Russ Hochstein, Nick Kazier, Dan Copen, Matt Light, Logan Mankins, Stephen Neal, and Billy Yates. Three quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Matt Gutierrez, and Kevin O'Connell. Six wide receivers, Sam Aiken, Jabbar Gaffney, Chad Jackson, Randy Moss, Matthew Slater, Kelly Washington and Wes Walker, that would actually be seven wide
so
receivers.
Seven. Oh.
Yeah. Doesn't affect the roster, I just didn't write it down.
Okay.
Yeah, we added Aiken last.
Five running backs with Heath Evans, Kevin Falk, Lamont Jordan, Lawrence Maroney, and Sammy Morris. Three tight ends with Steven Spock, David Thomas, and Benjamin Watson. And three specialists, obviously Steven Kaskowski, Chris Hansen, and Lonnie Paxton.
All right.
That's your
53. Offensive line, we're short.
I was going to say, with one of those extra spots, I think we would take an offensive lineman.
So we could cross off.
O'Callaghan comes back.
I don't think it'll be him.
No. I think there's a chance Spock is out and they add another offensive line.
I think Webster is a guarantee on defense.
With Hochstein and Yates. Injury mm-hmm. questions heading in
depth there.
And on top of that, you have Neal, who's certainly no sure thing. I think you probably need a ninth offensive lineman at least to open.
Flynn is really
at least
only
to
center,
open the
right?
season.
I believe so.
So can you really? But you have Hochstein for that. So you really wouldn't you want somebody else who can play
he
more
can't
guard
play
tackle?
Guard?
I would. I mean, Wellborn.
Anybody can play a guide. Bill told me you could always get a guide.
Wellborn would be the candidate because he can play both.
Well, let's just put a question mark next to Wellborn.
But I think we're wrong. I think Spock doesn't make it, and they bring an extra lineman.
I'm the only one who didn't like the three tight end set. So,
well, I just think
if they're going
to
run, if they're going
to Wesley Britt is just as good as Steven Spock as my five times a game blocking tight end.
Exactly. Okay. Probably better.
I don't know about that, but
no, I think he probably
is. I just worried about if Wesley Britt's actually playing tackle. Then what do you do?
Right.
That's the only thing I'm concerned about.
Then Holstein. I think they have a better feel for. I mean, Light's out there. I'm assuming Light's going to start opening day.
This is fun.
See, I assume that he will too, but I'm wondering if he's going to finish opening day.
Well,
without the benefit of any preseason.
The whole, you don't if Britt has to play tackle, then Evans can play tight end. It's not ideal, but those are the 45 man day of game roster issues you face.
That's the issue with your flexibility within the roster.
So Strippers writes in, do you take one less linebacker and bring Sayow in later?
Well, I think you just Gary Guyton or whoever the last linebacker that makes it might go somewhere else when Slater, Sayow comes in. Fred, interesting note.
Yes.
Lockers that are available, real lockers in the Patriots locker room, the wood ones.
Yes.
24 remains blank, 80 remains blank, and 55 remains blank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
A couple others, but they don't make
24 being, of course, Ty Law.
Gerard Cherry might be around, too.
Let's talk about that for a second. He's out there. Yep. Mike Reese had a couple quotes from him, I think, in his Sunday column.
He basically said
he's keeping in shape.
I'll take him.
Is he the answer to the Patriots' depth concern, or not really depth concern, but quality of play concern at cornerback at this point?
I would take him over Webster in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. I would take him over anybody
so,
that's
it's
starting.
It's an easy decision to me if yeah, well, that's true. But
no, I'm serious. I would sign him and put him on the starting line.
No, I agree. But I'm just saying, I'm just talking for roster purposes.
Nickel?
Who would you cut? Who would be the guy out?
On starting line, Webster. LCB or RCB,
that's
one
the
of them
thing. I mean, if
LAW.
You bring in Ty Law, he lines up on first down.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
Oh, yeah, he's one of my starting corners until he proves to me he's not a starting corner.
Alongside.
Because all these guys have already sort of proven to me they're not that good.
Probably Hobbs.
Corners.
Has to be Hobbs.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be.
For some reason,
at
Hobbs'
this
job
point, it's
Hobbs.
I wouldn't put
it could evolve
right
into
away.
Bryant or Wheatley later, but I think day one, it's probably Hobbs.
Freddie, why do they love Hobbs?
I think he's got the quickness that they're looking for.
So when he's five, but
I know, he
things.
Plays so soft.
He's never around the ball.
I know.
Even last week when Wheatley gave up, it was Wheatley that gave up that long ball, right? He was in the ballpark.
I think
every
when,
time Hobbs gives up a pass, he's 5 yards away.
I know, but I think when they get to the end zone and there's nowhere else for the guy to go, Hobbs can battle with a guy, and he's got good athletic ability. He's got good leaping ability.
Super Bowl.
So you know he's okay in the you know he let the guy go by him in that one.
Well, you said when they get to the end zone, he battles.
Well, but I think he's made plays in the end zone. But when there's room in front of, you know, he just plays too soft.
Last week, the Eagles completed a pass to a guy in front of him who was on his knees, and Hobbs was still 5 yards away.
I know. I don't get it.
I feel like, honestly, this is the Rohan Davey era again, but he's a cornerback. Everything I see says he's not that good, and yet when he's healthy, he's a starter.
And no one else seems
to agree
with
Rohan Davey.
That's the thing that's
well,
funny
he,
to me.
I'm just busting the chops.
The thing is,
well,
I don't remember. Maybe I'm sure he has, but I haven't seen him get burned long a lot. I don't see guys getting by him. And once a guy catches it, he doesn't miss a tackle a lot.
I've seen a lot of guys get by him long.
And
Reggie Wayne did it about three times in that game.
You don't see guys getting by him?
I remember him breaking that pass up against Reggie Wayne in the end zone.
Reggie Wayne.
You don't remember that?
I remember him getting beat deep a lot.
And Fred,
I think he's a pretty good tackler.
But because he gets a lot of practice because of his 10-yard
play.
Plaxico beat him deep in the season
finale. But he doesn't let guys, you know, in the open field, he's a pretty good tackler. He doesn't get beat. You know,
I'm not sure being a good tackler is on top of my priority list for cornerback.
But maybe the style of defense is, you know.
You know how Bill talks about
being
competitive
when
you
break defense?
You see a corner leading a team in tackles? That's how I feel about Hobbs.
Right. Exactly.
He's leading
great.
A team
101
in tackles.
Tackles. Oh, fantastic.
That's not necessarily a good thing. I'm thinking more along the lines of, you know, once the guy makes the catch, at least get him down, which Belichick has talked about as well.
When was the last time you said, Ellis Hobbs, that's a great play? That is a that's why he's a corner.
That's an
Ellis
Hobbs type of play.
Right. He made one in training camp that I saw. That's
week one.
That's about it.
Turn.
Yeah. I need on defense. I even he had a pick in the Super Bowl that was on a tipped ball that Paul could have picked.
Had a lot of those.
No, but that's my like literally. When was the last time he made a play on a ball?
I threw more than
I can't even.
When
was the last time? Tell you one.
I'll even give you. When was the last time he made a play on a ball and happened to miss the play and give up a completion?
But to that,
he's not close enough to go for a play.
But to that fact, I think when you talk about pass defense this preseason, I think Teddy Bruschi is the only guy I've seen have a really good pass defense. I mean, none of the cornerbacks are doing it. They're all playing off their man.
But what I like, Wheatley gave up the play, but he was there. And if
yeah, I think he's been given pretty tight coverage for it.
He's Wheatley, been around the ball
so, for the most part.
I saw him. Yeah, he got dragged across the field and he stayed right with the guy. Guy made the catch, but he was right there.
Yeah,
you know, I saw that play.
Young corners but to be I'm around even, the ball first, and then if they need to make the plays as they develop,
right.
Ellis Hobbs is not around the ball and not making plays.
And, you know, and to speak what Andy's talking about, how many of those things come right off the top of your head the last 2 years from Samuel? I mean, you can name a lot of plays
oh,
that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He
you know,
made,
coming
yes.
off his guy to make a play on the ball mm-hmm. of
pass
someone else.
Pass defense.
Just in, you know, yeah. just instinctive right. type of plays. I don't really see those out
Never.
Of Hobbs.
And I'm talking all games, all practices, all everything.
No, I.
But
I,
we seem
I mean,
to
I
be the only ones
one,
that
but.
Think this because a lot of the other media guys think that he's, you know, this great player and you know
he's
going to be
he's
a great
personable.
Guy.
I love him.
Great guy.
I can't love him so much that I'm blinded by the love.
Look, this is what we're talking about last year as far as this defense goes. This is what's kept the defense from being a really great defense, and I think it's a carryover from last year. It got hidden by the fact that the offense was so out of this world, but it's pass coverage that they've had problems with. Now, maybe every team does in this NFL. Maybe the hardest thing to do is have quality depth in the back, in you know, the defensive backfield, because you know that's usually where, you know, you spend the less money. I don't know on defense. But I'm saying that this is a carryover from last year. And now
it
you've
is.
Lost
right.
Asante Samuel,
Hobbs
who was your best
not
guy.
Been good for years.
So, you know, my thing is, okay, maybe the front seven is so good that they can make up for that and they can play, you know, well enough team defense back there that they're not giving up back big plays. And, you know, when they have to, the front seven will make the play that gets them off the field. But we haven't seen that yet in the preseason.
Well, it comes down to balancing the addition of Gerard Mayo and moving Thomas back to the outside versus the loss of Samuel. Does that compensate?
That's huge. That right. is huge. And that's what I think what they're thinking. You got now that speed in the middle that you didn't mm-hmm. have last year, and you got Adalys Thomas more comfortable on the outside right. where he can make plays.
Well, the only thing is that is the way they finished the last 7 weeks last year, is with Thomas on the outside and Seau on the inside. And I don't think – I mean, now, look, Mayo is going to be terrific, but, you know – it's probably going to be a little bit of an adjustment. He's probably going to make some mistakes. And Seau certainly wasn't lacking for speed and athleticism. So I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make. Now, the big difference to me is you hope, and certainly I hope, Seymour.
Seymour. He's
is,
healthy.
Is Seymour from 04 and 0, you know, 03, 04, 05 and not 06 and 07.
But you, you
know,
guys are taking a big picture view. I'm just looking at one player and saying – he's a weak point to me. He's a guy that every play, if I'm a coach, I'm worried what the hell he's doing. And I think when you go into a game or a play with one guy who you consistently feel like isn't competing at that level.
I agree with you, Andy. And Fred, you made the comment that you're not sure how many teams have that kind of depth. And I definitely agree with that point because, listen, that's probably the hardest thing to find is enough guys to cover
right.
these multiple receiver formations. Bill talked about those as being starters now, that third right. and fourth cornerback. And probably very few teams have that depth. But I'm not even comparing it to other teams. I'm comparing it to guys on the Patriots.
Right.
It seems like the other guys are more within the vicinity of where they're supposed to be when the ball gets caught than he does.
I always go back to that last regular season game last year against the Giants. Hobbs came off the field, and he's moaning and groaning about something. And Belichick says, look, don't get involved in all that stuff. Just rely on your speed and quickness. So,
yeah, but I've never seen him do that.
Yeah, I mean, I
still waiting.
Yeah,
like I don't feel like it's a technique thing. I mean, he should, based on his speed and athleticism, be able to run with a receiver. He's fast. He's quick.
Yeah,
he's an athlete. But he's always just mirroring him at a 5 yard.
Right.
It's like a mirror drill right. rather than a cover drill.
He's way off the guy all the time.
I can't believe that they're telling him that's how they want him to cover.
But. No.
Unless they're gun-shy about him giving up the big plays
yeah,
at the end of the
right.
season.
Right, well, that's obviously why they would tell him to do that. But
well,
I
then he shouldn't be out there.
I can't
right.
imagine that.
That was my point to start. If he's something you feel like you always have to cover for, then he shouldn't be
exactly.
out there. Put
Find
out
Lewis
Sanders,
that.
Put out Mike Richardson, give somebody else a chance, because it's not working. We have a huge sample here, I feel like, of Ellis Hobbs not playing at a top level or even as competitive as the 10 other players on your defense.
Well, this is, you know, I think other than the offensive line, to me, this is the big question going into the season.
Absolutely.
You know? So we'll see what they have to do with that. We got a lot of emails that we haven't even gotten to.
Right.
So let's get to that. Josh has been sending a lot of emails. He says, when we go to Seattle, there's a good steak place called El Gaucho.
El Gaucho.
Is that one of those Brazilian steakhouses?
I don't know.
That'd be El Guapo.
He says he wants to meet us there for a nice filet and a whiskey.
I don't drink whiskey.
No whiskey for me.
Yeah.
I eat filet, though.
You'll be peeling me off the floor
now,
the next day.
Eric, you strike me as like a Scotch drinker.
Maybe
you would enjoy a nice 40-year-old Scotch or something like that.
Single malt. Enjoy a nice 40-year-old man.
40-year-old
Scotch.
Scotch. What's the guy from Wales?
James.
James.
Yeah.
The guy who runs our site.
Yeah,
he's not 40 years old, I don't think.
Oh,
Fred.
You looked into it.
No, but you know. I don't think a 40, 50-year-old guy is.
You don't drink Scotch. Let's get to the end of that.
You want
to
eat my salad? No, I'm not.
What is Scotch? It's kind of a whiskey.
It's a
type of whiskey.
It's a type of whiskey.
Yeah.
Scotch whiskey.
Does it have to be made in Scotland?
I think that's where it originally was made.
Because bourbon has to be made in Bourbonia, right?
No.
Bourbon.
Speaking of...
yes, Fred.
Last week we were talking about St. Elmo's and whether or not it's gone downhill.
It has.
Do we have any emails about...
It has.
We're going
to...
I just want to do some other things, too. Mix it up. Joe writes in, being an indie local, I feel that I need to chime in since somehow or another St. Elmo's is NFL's famous due to the combine and tricking new coaches to try big mouthfuls of the cocktail sauce. Andy, shut up about big mouthfuls of cocktail. Andy and Eric are absolutely right. St. Elmo's was once a fantastic steakhouse, but has definitely fallen from grace. They rely on their cocktail sauce and convention visitors and tourists for their business. There is nothing special about their steak.
No.
Yes, their cocktail sauce will set your world on fire, but as a steakhouse, you'd expect their signature dish to be steak. And he gives some other... suggestions for restaurants in Indy.
He's Weber also, Grill?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Morton's and Carbonos and Ocean Air, if you're into seafood. But Eric should go to the Rook Show,
Eric
he said, but
there.
So should Paul, Andy and Mike on a rotating basis. I don't want to lose any of you guys from In Progress, but I would sure like to hear some of you on Rook's Basement Show so I could actually listen to it.
Do you hear how we read that?
Yeah.
See, this is why I told you. You're trying to beat me up today. I sort of thought you paused.
You did.
So should Paul.
It sounded like Paul.
And then you said Mike and Andy were thrown off.
It's subconscious then.
Oh, yeah.
Sucky.
Joe also says, Eric is not gay, although he did write lubricant articles. I have to come to believe that he's just an amazingly pretentious prick. Oh.
Should you not have read that, Fred?
For some reason, I like that about him. It's a nice balance for the show. I suppose this is me ground swelling, although I'm still a Perillo supporter on
Eric's
listener
swelling
map.
Right now.
I'm not that swollen. Shut up about swollen.
You wrote an article about lubricant?
You like lubricant?
No. My previous job, I was working for an insurance company, and one of their special...
How many jobs have you had?
Too many.
People don't like you, do they?
No,
is
I don't
this
like
the
them.
Longest you've ever stayed at one place?
No. Television. I was there for 7 years.
Oh, that's right. Channel 6
television.
In
12.
Providence. Channel 12. 12 in Providence. That's how I met you, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. But, no, we had, one of the specialties of this company was they had a laboratory where they would blow things up.
Dolls?
And burn things to try to see how things happen. No, they really would do that. And exactly. So that they could figure out how to prevent that from happening or at least mitigate it. And one of the things that they used was lubricants.
KY?
No, not that kind of lubricant, but fire retardant lubricants in the construction. So I had to write an article about that for one of the.
And you're a lubricant expert.
Is this on the online somewhere? Is that how this guy knew?
Can this be the fun fact of the day?
Yeah, the story's probably.
No,
Who was that?
I think I remember that story.
Lubricant.
I think. Did you send me that in part of your clips?
I might have been. Might have been.
Patiently waiting.
You still hired him?
Yeah.
Imagine your centerpiece clip being about lube.
Patiently waiting on the phone right now is Nelson in New Hampshire. Nelson, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's
good.
Up, Nelly?
Hey, Nelson.
Huh?
What's up? Just saying hello.
Oh, what's going on? I had a question, and I know you guys haven't really covered this too much. I mean, I know it's a Tom Brady subject, and you guys have probably answered a million questions about him. But now, is it Belichick that's not allowing him to travel with the team? Because I know in the past that injured players don't usually travel with the team.
Right.
So, I mean, is that primarily the whole reason?
Yes.
Okay. But does that concern you at all that he's not there at games to kind of maybe even coach up some of the quarterbacks there?
No, not at all.
Because he'll do it while the games are here. He was there on the sidelines the first two.
It's also not his job to coach
It's not his job, and he'll have that opportunity after the heat of the battle in the film room if he wants to sit with Matt Castle and say, what'd you see here? Here's what you should have seen here. So, yeah, I don't think that's in any way concerning.
Okay. Well, I just thought maybe, you know, during the game time situation, you know, he can help maybe a quarterback, you know, right during the game point out some particular things.
It doesn't hurt if he's there.
And
it doesn't hurt. But
if it was the regular season and he was hurt for a six-week span and Castle had to play every week, I think there's a good chance he's there. Sort of like Drew was there, you know, that famous clip from, I think, Three Games to Glory, Fred, with Drew saying, tell me what you like today. And Brady says, I like the sevens, the nines, and the five. I think you would see that same scenario unfold with the little earpiece.
That's exactly
and
what I was
Brady
thinking.
Home games. Home games. I bet he would travel.
I think he would probably travel, too. Now, Drew's situation was different because he was hurt to the point where when he wasn't active, he wasn't traveling, he wasn't doing anything.
Right.
But then when he came back, I think he did travel before he was actually dressed. He had that blue fleece Patriots pullover that he wore all the time and had exactly what Andy's talking about with that with that earpiece.
You know, it's not a bad idea either for a couple of games to let the other quarterbacks go out there without the training wheels on and play and see what they can do without having Brady in their ear all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a bad little adjustment, and this is the time of year to do it, so why not?
All right. Does that answer your question, Nelson?
Yeah, pretty much. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Nelson in New Hampshire.
Freddie. Customer.
Yeah. I got a theory I forgot I wanted to tell you about that I came up with in the press conference today. Bill was asked about the coach-to-defender communication system.
Yeah, by the way, they used it in the last game.
Yes. And he was asked whether they're going to use it again. Would they use the same players? And his answer was, you know, we've thrown a lot of scenarios out there, talked about a lot of different things. I have a theory. They are going to use it during the year, but not for signals, to call the defense. They're going to use it as an additional form
teaching
of information to give them almost notes and little, well, Ernie Adams' numbers tell us that it's 3rd and 7 on the, and keep in mind, in the scouting report, it said 78% of the time.
So who would wear that? Who do you think?
Bruce Gear of Rabel, the defensive leaders, Harrison.
Yeah.
Those guys. But I think it's the case where they don't need it.
Right.
Right.
If that guy's off the field, you still have your, we're going 34, cover 2, nickel,
I think
whatever.
one of our listeners wrote that in a couple weeks ago, like maybe you give it to Gerard Mayo to help him out. Just, you know.
To force feed him the information directly.
Yeah.
Well, I was
thinking
more.
I don't know if you want a rookie with that.
Yeah. I was thinking more not to help a certain player, but to.
But in other words, it's some other use.
I think
the bottom line.
I think that's the Patriot way. Everybody else is saying, oh, we got to use this to do signals. And they say, well, why do we have to? And can we get another advantage? Can we find a more efficient way to do
this? That's right. And that's what makes them great. Ben in Pennsylvania says, I was at the Friday's Eagles game. Everyone in this room does. I was at the Friday's Eagles game, and I think I witnessed Castle's last game as a Pat. He should be cut. I need your opinion on a fantasy pick. Should I pick Gerard Mayo as a linebacker in my fantasy draft this Friday, or will I regret that gamble? I think he should put up some fantasy numbers.
Mayo!
I don't know what league you're in.
I'm not interested in any fantasy league
never
that
been
has
in a
defensive
league that
players drafted.
And where you have to draft inside linebackers individually. I could see, there's like a sack statistic and you draft a Jason Taylor, but...
they don't have a tackle statistic?
No, you draft a
I know there's different types of fantasy leagues.
Right, sounds like a very intense one.
Yeah. But yeah, every league I've seen, you draft an entire team's defense.
Right.
Take Slater as your fourth kick returner. Late in the season, he might help you.
I've never seen a league where you draft individual defensive players.
No.
A good year could be a half a sack, one interception, 82 tackles, and I just don't know if that gets you points.
Yeah. Pete from Hoboken, this is for Gary and Mini Gary. Since Gary's next week here. Is the start of the PFW fantasy football season, would it be possible to have a segment of the show in which the people playing against Andy, Laurie, Paul, and Mini Gary call in my Jersey Skanks fantasy team is taking on Andy's Heart Foundation in week one.
I'm going
to
lose.
So I'd love to give Andy a piece of my mind, especially since he didn't show up for the online draft. Why didn't you show up for the online draft?
I forgot.
So you got the runs.
And I wasn't planning on showing up for the online draft.
So now you've got guys that you really didn't want, and that's going to be your excuse all year?
Well, I got hosed because I got that Brandon Marshall guy from the Broncos who's suspended for the first 2 weeks, and he's like my top receiver. I got Plaxico, who's – is he walking yet?
He can walk.
Maybe we don't have teams anymore, Mike.
I don't know. I thought the draft was the 31st of August.
It's different. Each league had its own commissioner.
I think mine is the 31st, which I'm not even going to be available for anyway, so I'm going to be in the same boat as Andy.
You can have auto draft.
Oh, did my draft happen? Auto-draft.
I have no idea.
Oh, mine was Sunday.
Did mine happen yet?
Maybe I have no idea.
Loser.
We're all in different leagues.
No, I know. But
so
I
you could like rate the players you want, and then they just
yeah. You can rank them if you want in advance.
Yeah, I don't really like to rank them.
I went to do that and realized it was going to be a boatload of work, and said,
who I guess you got to rank like 400 guys. It's ridiculous.
Matt Castle and Gutierrez were two out of the last three players ranked on Yahoo's rankings. Castle was just above Gutierrez.
Oh, that hurts.
Wow. Surprised they were ranked.
Caleb in Tampa, don't worry. It's okay to read my emails on the show. Last week you said that I might not want my emails being read on the air. This is the guy who uses his mother's email address.
And the guy who...
That was the part that he didn't want
he
read on
wrote
the air.
Something in 12, 15, 18-point font saying, don't read this on the air. Right. You read it.
And then reiterated it.
I just wanted to tell you that I planned my school schedule so that I can... am taking computers and typing from 106 to 157 so I can listen to part of your show live. I don't know if you have already talked about this, but I thought that Mayo looked good in the Eagles-Pats game. I thought that he showed signs of a future all-around great middle linebacker. What are your opinions? I also thought that Castle is out after the performance that Gutz had, even though I think that he has a great personality, and seeing him cut will be disappointing. He looked like a peewee football player against an NFL team.
Great personality.
I thought Mayo was fine. I didn't watch him as closely this week because Paul yelled at me for watching him closely the first 2 weeks and said, get off Gerard Mayo. But I thought he had a great first week, a terrible second week, and a decent third week. So now he's averaging
he's
to
even.
A pretty good player.
Yeah,
we're still very high on Gerard Mayo.
And evidently,
Fred, the head coach is as well, based on his glowing
tribute
to him yesterday on the radio.
You got that? You have that audio, little Gary?
Sorry.
It takes place in this studio. God forbid, I think you'd have that audio.
He's not playing solitaire, but he might as well be. He's just like blankly looking off into space.
Fred, they asked him if Gerard Mayo was ready to compete for playing time or whatever, and Bill said, oh, yeah. He's going to be maybe not in all packages, but maybe all packages, I believe. The way he said it, the tone was, that's kind of a ridiculous question. The guy's already very good and is going to be great, and he's going to play when he's healthy all year.
I think they're very pleased with their pick.
They should be.
Yeah. I think he's going to be Rookie of the Year.
Of course he
defensive
is.
Defensive rookie
he
of the year.
He could be. He's up there.
Of course he is.
Rachel from Manila. It's been a while since I last wrote in, but I haven't missed any of your shows. Anyhow, this is my question. Fred, you've been a proponent of the sky isn't falling yet on Foxborough, even after three poor preseason outings by the Pats. Okay, fine. If that's the case, at what point can we start to panic?
Is it if
Brady doesn't start versus the Chiefs, or if he starts and yet the Pats still play poorly? What factors should be present before you finally say, okay, now we can panic?
Both those scenarios, panic.
Yeah, when they actually start
panic after
losing
one bad loss.
Regular season games.
If they lose to
at
the
any
Chiefs,
regular clip,
they're in trouble.
I think that if you go into the Chiefs and Brady gets sacked more than three times, I think you got to start worrying. Because you know Moss
is... Wait a minute. If they win like 42-3
and they lose because of the sacks. Because you know Moss is great. You know Welker is great. You know Maroney's good. You know these skilled players are good.
In other words, if they have another performance like in the Super Bowl.
If the offensive line can't block for the running or can't block, then these guys don't matter.
How about on the flip side? What would concern you if the defense is still kind of struggling and
giving up Larry Johnson goes for $170 on 35 carries. No big runs, just pounds it at him all day long.
What if they give up 375 yards on the ground but only not on the ground, I mean total offensive yards.
Then you're
But only 14 points.
It's a bad team, and then you're playing with fire.
But they've done that before. And teams have won like that before.
That'd be a lot of yards to allow.
I'll press the P and the A, maybe not the Nick.
Okay. You're starting.
If Brady doesn't play because he's hurt, press panic. And if he plays and they lose, press panic.
I think that the more accurate, the more likely scenario is that they just completely wipe the floor with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
So we're going
to
panic if they lose
week
one.
We know nothing more
to the Chiefs.
To the Chiefs.
To a team that's going to start 10 rookies.
Monday, September 8th, we know nothing more.
In week one,
that was a random game.
If this could be equally random.
But that was extenuating circumstances.
I understand that, but that's still one game. I think the panic is in an injury.
Somebody wrote in that the Patriots...
Most normal teams do lose games during the regular season.
Yeah, but
I know
not to bad teams like that.
Patriots and the Patriots have an opening day a home opening day streak alive. They're 6-0 with Gillette Stadium. They're 11-13 in their home openers.
It's one game. I don't think that.
Look, I do think that the Patriots could lose this game.
I don't.
I don't think there's any way that they can't lose. I mean, we don't know who these teams are yet.
My God. Your
circle gets
of crap.
A square.
Fred, he did predict this, that you were going to say this, spew this idiocy. He said it would be after they lose that you would
predict
this.
No, no, no. If it was a close game, I didn't say they were going to. There's no way they're going to lose.
Fred, they're going to start like 10 rookies. They have a terrible quarterback. Yeah. They have one guy,
Larry
Johnson.
Their best defensive player.
Well, the Patriots are right now, according to one of our readers and listeners, 16.5 point favorites.
Right.
I think that's high. I don't think week
you're
one.
You're picking up from last year.
Yeah.
Picking up.
I know, but are you picking up from last year?
That's what I'm saying. That's what Vegas is doing. They're picking up where the Patriots left off.
No, I'm talking about the teams.
Well, they're also picking up the fact that the Patriots are a good team with lots of talent, and the Chiefs are starting 10 rookies or whatever the
number is. I think
the
Chiefs would be a double-digit underdog to about 20 teams.
I mean, they're expected to be one of the bottom five
On the road against about 20 different teams, I think they would be a double-digit underdog. This is a team that maybe by the end of the year that they're showing some signs, but they're going to be starting a ton of rookies. They have the guys that aren't rookies are untested completely. It's just it's
imagine
a major
being Tony Gonzalez.
It's a major rebuilding in Kansas City.
Should have done that a while ago.
Brian writes in from Honolulu.
Congratulations on the Little League World Series.
Did they win?
Well, I don't know where exactly they were from, but it was Hawaii.
Wow, that's cool. You need to take control of the situation with Eric moving to Rook's show, Fred. Don't take this nonsense about working out a rotation. Eric needs to go. You know it. I know it, and the American people know it. I don't care if you move him to PFW Deportes. By the way,
he doesn't speak Spanish.
These are Brian's talking points right here.
Actually, you just
you know I don't speak Spanish.
No, it's the only
English,
language he doesn't speak. We've been down this terrible road before.
By the way, his need to go has nothing to do with the fact that he requires a wide stance. It is because he is humorless, pseudo-intellectual, right-wing
nitwit.
Nothing
pseudo about it, my friend.
It's like he is the love child of Diane Chambers and Fred Smirlis. How many St. Paul graduates go on to attend BU? Just the one who anchors the mean. Please, Fred, no more Eric facts. We have heard too much already.
Yes, from you, Brian. We have heard too much
what
already.
What is the fact of the day today, Fred? Have you gotten that yet?
We gotten one?
1:30
About that time.
It's 1:34 we're doing it. It's 1:33 right now. So in
you've
a minute.
5 seconds.
So I'll give you a minute to think of it.
I got one. I got one in the hopper for you.
Do you want to go right to it then?
I got one in the hopper for you.
Oh, that's see now. I have vacationed, Fred, in Bermuda. Not once.
You got lost.
Not twice.
Yes.
Three times.
Wow. What brings you back?
Great. It's a great spot to vacation.
Do you go anywhere special?
Oh, I meant back here.
Yeah. What brings you back here? Yeah.
Anywhere special in Bermuda that you like to go?
Cambridge Beaches.
Cambridge Beaches.
This is all the way on the western side of the
island. I've never been to Bermuda.
Beautiful.
Andy, Michael?
Great weather, too.
No.
Do you have a made-up girlfriend from down there, too?
Oh, wow. Two-gender. Wow.
From downtown, two-gender.
Wow.
Very nice. I'll let you have that one today.
Okay. Let's see. Reed writes in last Thursday's episode.
Reed writes in.
Somebody emailed Fred the 10 worst draft picks under Lovie Smith, so that got me thinking, what are the 10 worst draft picks by Belichick, excluding 6th and 7th round picks, because most of those picks don't pan out, except for Tom. Also, what is the status on Wes Welker?
Chad Jackson and Bethel Johnson are in the mix.
Chad Jackson's getting – what did he say?
What's that?
Getting all right, going to be all right?
Oh, Welker's doing all right.
Doing all right.
Doing all right.
Doing all right.
Belichick drafted Clem, right?
Adrian Clem.
That was 2000.
Top 10.
I believe.
The top 10. Adrian Clem would be one. Yeah. Bethel Johnson would be one.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dave, that tight end there, Dave Stachelski.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be one. Ooh. I'd say Rohan Davey should be one.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that.
We'll keep thinking about that. Let's see. Paul in London.
Brock Williams would be one.
Oh, yeah.
Brock Williams, yeah.
Defensive back, Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's a safety.
Third-round pick.
Yep. Yep.
Jeff Marriott.
While Paul is thinking of that, on the phone right now is Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
What's going on, guys?
Good.
Hey, Ellis Hobbs.
What's up? Oh,
wait, he's still on the team.
What's this about Rohan Davey?
One of the worst draft picks of Belichick's time here.
Oh, no kidding. Well, I decided...
No defense.
What's that?
No defense of him, huh? I thought maybe you were going to get mad because you were a Rohan Davey fan and defend him.
Ramblin' Roe.
No, never heard of him. No. But anyways, I've decided to call later on in the show because you guys are now the big Patriots radio and you're always busy in the beginning.
That's true.
Is Eric there?
Yeah,
Eric's
what's up?
Here.
How you doing?
Well, Eric, you disappointed me once again.
Oh,
you eat my salad?
Boy, here we go.
Well, I'm starting to think, you know, Eric's starting to come in his own. He has his own opinion. He's finishing it off strong. And then once again, he has to kill the momentum with his pomposity.
What did I do now?
Pomposity.
Well, it was the, I actually agreed with you about the 16-0 banner.
No, stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar. That was a drop-in. That wasn't me live today. That was a drop-in.
Well, I kind of figured it was. I wouldn't think you would get ticked off like that in a second.
So, all right, so the 16-0 banner, we agreed on that. And then what happened?
Yes, we agreed. And then you started getting into your school, how it was one of the greatest prep schools and whatnot.
The most elite in the country, I think, was what he called it.
What do you call it?
The most elite prep school in the country.
What the hell are you doing?
Am I right about that?
I think you're. Yeah,
am
you're right.
Am I quoting you accurately?
You're quoting me accurately. Yeah.
Most elite prep school in the country.
I actually have a good email about St. Paul's.
About that?
About your life at St. Paul's.
Oh, great. So anyway, Anthony, go ahead, finish.
Yeah, well, that was pretty much it. I just want to say you disappointed me once again because I'm thinking you're on the good foot.
No, he's
then
not.
You have to be pompous once again.
He
well,
can't help
Anthony,
it.
Anthony, where'd you go to prep school?
What's that?
Where'd you go to prep school?
Oh, the inner streets of Lowell.
Inner streets of Lowell.
Really?
Did you go to Lowell
school
High?
School of hard knocks.
Did you go to Lowell High?
Yes, I went to Lowell High, and that was about it.
Yeah, but you're living in Naples, Florida now, so you must have done something right.
Yeah, you gotta leave the state.
Well, I'll say I learned a lot from, let's say the streets.
Mm-hmm. You're a drug dealer?
Had to get away for a while?
He is from Lowell.
Hey,
what?
Hey, guys, come
I'm
on.
I'm from Everett. What do you mean? This is what we do.
Yeah.
Lowell's actually a nice town. I actually lived in Belvedere, which wasn't bad. But, yeah, I got some street smarts. We can say that.
Well, yeah, compared to Everett, it is.
Then that's when they smoke it.
But anyways, you know, what I had a question about was Gerard Mayo. I really didn't do much research on it, so I'm actually relying on you guys to tell me. But have they released the numbers on his contract?
Mayo! Yeah, I mean, I could look it up,
him.
Yeah. But
they were out there.
Mike Reese always has the contract breakdowns, yeah. But, I mean, I don't have them off the top of my head.
Was it around $30 million total
couldn't,
package?
Couldn't tell
something
you.
Like that? Yeah.
What I find fascinating about it, but what I was thinking is it seems like, you know, Bill Belichick trying to not, I guess, cause a commotion as in with the numbers, because it seems like it was more or less like not really put out in the media, you know?
It's just well, not, you it's, know, it's definitely not put out in the media. It's not something that the team makes available to the media.
Yeah, and I just found that fascinating because I actually got to give them kudos for that, you know, so not to cause a ruckus within that linebacker core.
Well, they know.
They know. They know all the numbers.
Yeah. I mean,
if Mike Vrabel or Adalys Thomas or any of those guys wants to know what Gerard Mayo is making,
yeah, they can
all they
find
have to
out.
Is pick up the phone and call their agent. They could find exactly every cent that Gerard Mayo is going
to
make.
All that, that info is available to all the agents and management in the NFL.
It's just not available to the media.
It's public knowledge as far as that's concerned. There's no hiding that because of the cap and the way the CBA is. You know, everyone has to know each other's particulars in every contract, so they know.
They kind of could figure it out anyways because of where he was slotted,
that's
number
right.
10.
Yep, they can get
I'm
an
just
idea.
More or less stating that it's good that you can just kind of tell they don't want to make a big deal out of it, you know, just to – it just kind
of – Well, they avoid making a big deal out of all contracts, basically. I mean, they don't really want that information out there, in part because of the reason you're talking about. I don't think they want – a lot of discussion about money and who's making what and who's underpaid and Bruce
I think most
Harrison.
Teams are like that. They'd rather not have that info.
But I think
out
the
there.
Patriots go to greater lengths than most to cover it up. Just like
I don't
they
think any teams release that information in the when they sign their first round pick. I don't think it's included in
when
the
when you
press
see
release.
One team that you know consistently has that info out there, it's because there's someone on the team that leaks it. You know,
is
it's
that
not,
really?
Yeah. No one's issuing press releases on contract numbers from a team.
Except agents.
Unless it's like a number one, like let's say it's like a top three quarterback or a top five quarterback.
But even then,
even
the team
then,
is
it won't
not,
come
the
from
team's
the team.
Not doing
it's
it
the agent puffing up his chest and telling you how much money he got his boys so that when he recruits that spring, he's you know, the players say, wow, you got Jake Long, $35 million, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. So how's Matt Light looking?
Well, he just came back to practice this week. So, I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
It's
hard,
way
it's hard
too hard to tell.
He looks thin.
Yep.
He looks thin.
He shaved all his hair off, so he doesn't look
young. They're
like
all clean shaven, but he looks thin. He looks like he needs to get in shape a little bit to me.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't expect him to play this week, but I would imagine versus Kansas City he'd be out there.
So you think he'd be there for the opener? That's a good sign, because he hasn't really been really talked about, so I'm kind of actually worried about that left side there.
Yeah,
but you should be.
He's been out of sight, out of mind.
I'm a little more concerned with the right side, to be honest with you, though. If Light comes back, then you already have Light and Mankins and Copen. Those three guys were there last year. I'm more concerned with the replacement for Neal and what Kazier's situation is, whether he's going to start.
Right.
Oh, he'll probably start, but whether or not he'll be effective.
Yep.
So I'm a little more concerned with the right, to be honest with you.
All right. Anthony and Naples.
Guys, take it easy.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Anthony.
I don't want to stump on a grave, but Marquise Hill was one of the worst picks of the Bill Belichick era.
Yeah. Second round pick.
Yeah. And a fourth round, a bad round, Paul. Kareem Brown last year was a fourth round pick. Rohan Davey, as you said. There was a Dexter Reed.
Yeah.
KP.
Yeah.
Dexter Reed would be a guy because I didn't think he was very good at all.
How about PK Sam?
First class a hole.
PK Sam.
Sixth round,
by the way.
A strippers.
He didn't want.
Nope. Screw yourself. Mendenhall will be just fine. He's working on the fumbling thing. Paul said they're doing the program where if anybody knocks the ball out of his hand anywhere during the day at Steelers facility, they get $100. By the regular season, he'll have that worked out. You just focus on those 15-yard runs he's been ripping off against defenses.
What round was PK Sam? Fifth or sixth?
Fifth round pick.
Fifth round. So, yeah, he could qualify because he said that excluding sixth or seventh. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Eric, when you were going to St. Paul's, this is from Todd, did you ever
have... Wait a minute. The famous Todd in Nova Scotia?
Yeah. All right. Did you ever have a new quirky English professor that turned you on to literature and the concept of carpe diem? Did you even sneak into the woods at night with your friends and smoke cigarettes, drink and read poetry?
You know what he's doing?
Did you take that acting class against your parents' wishes and were devastated that your father didn't allow you to play Puck in the campus production of Midsummer's Night Dream when the beloved teacher was fired for teaching you this anarchy behavior? Did you stand on your desk crying and say, "Oh, Captain, my Captain," and instead of killing yourself, you figured going to BU and working as a sports writer would disappoint your father enough?
Boy, this guy has way too much time on his hands. He really does.
I like him.
He's quoting a lot.
You know, that's Dead Poets
Society.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I was wondering. Okay. I didn't know if you had seen it. You didn't see the movie.
I did see that movie while I was at St. Paul's, and that reminded me a lot.
Of St. Paul's.
Oh, yeah. Just the campus, the atmosphere, except I don't think Dead Poets Society had women at that school, if I'm...
A lot of emails about Eric. I want to say hello to every Patriots fan in the show. Sorry, Andy. I'm part of the groundswell that I'm part of the groundswell that doesn't want Eric going to Rook. I think the best solution is to put him in an 8-minute transition show between PFW and Patriots Playbook.
Eight minutes.
The subjects could be books, politics, fashion, and recent trends in herbal tea.
Fashion.
It could be called Eric's Corner, although Eric's Closet would be best suited.
Who is this, Fred?
This would be Alex. Alex.
On
to football. I need some Homer pep talk. Please, Fred, tell me 19-0 is still going to happen. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you
that. You could tell him that.
No.
Yes, you could.
But I'm saying another run for the Super Bowl will happen.
I mean, I don't think you need a Super Bowl.
And that's all we're looking for.
I don't think you need
Wait a minute. He's changing his tune. That's all we're looking for is a run at the Super Bowl? Yeah. A couple
you
weeks
want
ago.
To rape, pillage, couple, and
yeah, you
want
everybody
destroy
to destroy cities.
Oh, I want that. Absolutely. I do want that.
Embrace the hate.
I want that. I want all that. I want all that.
You backed off from your Ferreira talk. Now you're backing off from this.
No way, baby. I do want complete devastation.
You've become like fooled into thinking that you have to go 16-0 to compete for a Super Bowl now.
Right. I don't
like,
think
it's,
you.
It's
I don't
okay.
Think you, why?
You can go 12-4.
Pressure,
it's okay.
You know? You don't need that extra pressure. That affected them last year. I didn't think it would, but it did.
Kamani says, "What's so special about Eric going to Bermuda? He's there with 1,000 other people. Big deal. Who cares?" Again, he's holding back. This is from Kamani. "Spoon feeding us lame, pompous stories. I used to live in the White House.
Wait.
I'm bilingual. I like to serve. Friend, send this boar back to the other show until he opens up."
All right, Fred. Kamani was complaining that I didn't have new pictures up on the website.
Yeah.
The pictures are now
nude
up
pictures?
On the website.
Oh, is this the new website?
Not the whole website is new, but there are new images on the
totally
gallery.
Totally nude nudes. Scalavino.com.
Okay.
TheEricScalavino.com.
Paul in London.
It's just Scalavino.com.
Whatever.
No one cares. A couple of questions. Since I can't listen live, will Gutierrez now be ahead of Castle for backup? We think so. We put him in the roster.
We didn't feel all that strongly about
that. No, it you guys think so. Don't put me in that
You got it by a 3-2 vote.
It wasn't unanimous. Yeah. It wasn't unanimous.
It wasn't even close.
Also, do you ever think the Patriots will play at Wembley Stadium like the Giants did last year to interact with a wider international audience? And will Ferreira ever apologize?
Ferreira will never apologize.
Yes and no.
Yeah. This whole international thing seems like it's
starting
to pick up
pace. Sooner
or
later, we'll be over at Wembley.
Nice.
Right? Well, I thought we were is there still a possibility of an international game next year? Do we know, Fred?
Oh, every year there'll be an international game. I mean, for the Patriots?
Yes.
There's a possibility, sure. I think in 2010, more likely.
2010?
Okay. Yeah.
Not the China Bowl.
2010. Sam from Brighton writes in, okay. I just got off Eric's site. Now I know why you guys call him gay. Flanders sucks. The Patriots Pro Shop sells a mini replica of the Super Bowl 38 banner that hangs in Gillette Stadium. It is nice. I would like to get it, except they only have Super Bowl 38 and don't have 36 or 39. I would get one, but I want all three.
I agree.
You kind of have to have them all.
Why wouldn't? Yeah, if you're set putting them up, wouldn't you want all three of them?
Absolutely.
So why don't they have all three, Fred?
I don't know.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Penn Plains at Gillette Stadium.
You know what he's excited about? A couple hot items. Remember how we talked about the traveling gnome, the Patriots version, a garden gnome or whatever?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the two interns. You said a couple of two new hot items.
What?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Wait,
anyway.
Hot interns here? Where?
You stumped me there.
Where are those crickets?
You know what the hot item right now is? You know those, like, eyeballs and mouth you can bang into a tree to make the tree look like it has a face? Have you ever seen those?
No.
Well, that's the hot item. But
it has a Patriots hat.
Yeah, it has a Patriots hat on top. And he's all excited. Flying off the shelves, he said.
The things that people are interested in.
Yet I can't get a beach towel that's taller than 4'10".
I have no chance in this world, Fred.
No.
No. No, I have no business sense.
Well, you've been here for 10 years.
That's something that
today
would be flying off
18.
The shelves.
I'm telling you, you got to write
like
that
Sesame
book
Street.
With
today's
your father
Paul's
about Pop Warner, and you'll
18.
Be set for life.
But, I mean, that's what people are interested in is a face that you can bang into a tree.
I'm not touching any faces.
That's
that
exactly
you
what you
but
just
that's
said.
That's what you just said, though.
Word
no,
for word.
That's
a face
what it
that
is.
You could bang into a tree. I mean, people want that?
What happened to T-shirts and sweatshirts?
I don't know.
They're out of those.
Commemorative mugs.
Maybe, how about this? A hat.
A hat.
How about a hat?
They got hats.
How about a beach towel?
How about a beach
that's
towel?
Taller than 4'10".
Well, you wouldn't need one any taller than that.
5'9", Paul.
For his head, yeah. But
see what this poor nephew that he did to his nephew?
I did. I saw.
What happened?
Runs in the
my
family.
Nephew got his head stuck in the seat of his potty. My sister,
oh. What?
My sister had to cut it off with shears.
The head?
Oh. No, the potty seat.
Oh.
My reply to the email was, I always knew he was a little bleep head.
Oh, that wasn't funny.
That's pretty good.
Takes after his uncle.
I told you, I've never had my head in a toilet seat. Too busy using
I got
it
my
the
head
right way.
When I lived in Rhode Island, when I was a little kid, like 4 or 5 years, upstairs they had the railings in the stairway, and I put my head through two of them, and I got it stuck in there.
Do you have to get like butter or something to get it out?
They just kind of twisted
like
me a
leave
little
it to
bit.
Beaver getting caught in
Rhode Island
the coffee
you live
cup
in Providence,
and
right?
Sign.
Yeah, right. I remember that one. That
you lived in Providence?
I feel lightheaded. Right in Providence. That was when we lived on Grayton Drive. You know Grayton Drive?
What's it near, off of? Or?
I know at the base of the hill, I think it was North Main Street, maybe?
Yeah.
Base of the hill was a
you're
Sears.
Getting the
a
nod
big
of
Sears.
Approval.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And there was a bowling alley
that's
next
North,
to it?
Yeah, that's North Main
Duck
Street.
Duck pins?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Sears still there?
The building is still there, but I don't think it's
now
it's
they're
not occupied
anymore.
As a Sears.
You know,
they refer
Drive?
To it as the old Sears yeah. building.
Grayton Drive
now.
Is right.
Sure.
I lived on Grayton Drive.
Okay, yeah. It's like 5 minutes.
I lived on Rochambeau Avenue, Methyl Street, and Grayton Drive.
East Side, Freddie. That's a good neighborhood.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm too young to remember. I know I went to kindergarten in a cab.
I thought you were going to say a limo.
Probably.
Len LaPadula says, it seems Jackson is not working out at wide receiver. I think that Ventrone has been able – what he's been able to do is great. Do you think there's a chance to take all of Jackson's athleticism and put him to work at cornerback?
Oh, God.
Certainly
no,
you
no.
are not required to have the great hands at cornerback, although Jackson could probably learn from Merriweather. Is the playbook simpler for a cornerback than for a receiver? It is,
yeah,
but there's no way that's happening.
I just don't.
You got to have the swivel hips. He doesn't have the swivel hips.
I also don't think that Jackson's problem is his hands.
Right. Although it would solve the problem that he can't run a route because he doesn't have to run a route. He just follows a guy. But
I just don't know if he's...
No.
I just don't understand why we're so... Ah, he didn't work there. Let's put him somewhere else. That happens in high school.
The guy plays the position his whole life, and you want to stick him at something.
Remember the Dan Klecko experiment? They tried it in Philly. Still doesn't work.
In the fans' defense, this is from Belichick, that he's done this enough now with enough different guys that's what everybody is looking
Although
for.
Ventrone, with Ventrone. Although when Ray Ventrone plays a legitimate role at receiver in a game and helps you win a game, I'll say he did it with Ray Ventrone.
Oh, by the way, at safety.
I know Troy Brown played D-back, but he wasn't a failed receiver. So, right. I mean, there's a little more of a trust level with a guy who has mastered one
saying,
position.
He's tried it with guys like Dan Klecko is a guy. He tried. He was defensive lineman. He was a linebacker. He was a fullback. I don't know if it's going to work. The guy's just wondering if maybe it's worth a shot.
No.
I can tell you
I don't think it's worth a shot, but I'm just telling you that he's done it with enough guys now. That's why fans are always looking for another alternative.
Done it with enough guys.
What are you talking about,
Eric?
Wow,
hey.
What the hell are you guys
I'm right on Andy's level now. This is bad.
I like it.
Kamani couldn't wait. He went immediately to your site.
I knew
and he
would.
Saw the pictures, and he says they suck.
Yeah, I knew that was
said, I waited 2 months for this.
Why have you been waiting? What do you care about, Eric? What is this
Kamani
obsession?
It's clear that he has.
Kamani has a love-hate relationship with Eric.
No, he loves him.
He's like his biggest fan, yet he's his biggest critic, right?
Kind of like Mike and the Giants.
Ooh. Yes.
This might work out for us, right. Paul, if he's one of those people. One of those whack jobs like Selena, the head of her fan club.
Oh, no. What are you saying?
What is a Michael Bolton fan club going to take some initiative? Remember that skit on Saturday Night Live?
When's the Eric Scalabrino fan club going to take over? Just kidding, Eric. God bless you.
Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia. Quick question. Have you heard anything around the stadium about Merriweather's health status?
Saw him in the locker room.
I was going to say saw him in the locker room today, too.
But that's what was reported. According to a league source, that he was going to be ready for the regular season, that it wasn't a major injury.
Yeah.
As we discussed, league sources could be anything from a high-ranking official down to a player.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kevin Duckworth died, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. How old is he?
44.
What happened there?
Kevin Duckworth?
Stop breathing.
Center for the Trailblazers?
Oh.
Yeah.
Back in the day?
The Big Dipper. I can't call Hector that anymore.
I was thinking of Ed Duckworth.
No.
He's already dead, isn't he?
Not quite.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Doesn't mean he's not.
I'm thinking of somebody else maybe.
What does not quite mean?
Perillo?
One foot in the grave? Dead.
Okay. Wrong.
Perillo is dead?
Bill Perillo, yeah.
Bill Perillo.
From the Projo.
Yeah. Guys I grew up reading.
No relation to Paulie.
Thank God.
No.
Different spelling.
Thank God, he says.
Why, bad guy?
It's a P-A-R.
I-L-L-O.
I thought so.
Parillo.
I'll never forget him. At one of my first drafts at the Patriots, they've got us up in the club area of the old stadium.
Yep.
And back then, you know, they'd have a row of tables with seats, row of tables. So it's like stacked up. And I'm sitting behind Bill Perillo with one of my interns, Lynn Ostrowski. Remember her? Did you ever meet her?
I know who she was, but I didn't work with her.
She ended up marrying some assistant coach at BC. Anyway.
Welcome to story time with Grammy Hart.
So we're sitting next to Bill Perillo, and it's quiet. You know, you're kind of waiting around. He lifts one leg and just lets one go. and she's like horrified. Then he proceeds to lift the other leg and do it again.
Had to balance it out.
Right in the middle of the room in front of everybody.
It's going to be Andy Hart when he's 62 years old.
Probably.
Wow. Yeah.
What do you mean 62?
How, 32.
Have you not been in my office in the last day?
But yeah. And
he does this on a daily basis in my office.
I have a digestive problem.
So that makes it okay
so
to,
you go to the
poop in my house.
I go to the bathroom early and often.
It's right around the corner.
Your apartment.
Do your
you
business in the bathroom, not in your pants.
Read an email.
House.
Paulie in L.A. writes in, can you guys give us a breakdown on how you see James Sanders, Ray Ventrone, and Jason Webster?
Boy, has my boy fallen.
James Sanders starts alongside Rodney Harrison at safety.
Now he's lumped in with Ray Ventrone. What's this about?
Ray Ventrone fighting for his life.
Fighting
Webster.
An uphill battle, the
and
water's tugging him under.
I don't think the spot is there for him, but it all depends on injuries. Jason Webster, I think, is going to make the team. No one else does.
Is this only because we know
Can't
him
the
from the Bills?
From the tub.
Because he hasn't shown us anything in preseason.
Webster?
Yeah, but he
didn't
not show us anything.
What did he show you that he can't make the team?
Well, but you're going to take a risk on a guy that you really haven't seen except for film from a year or two ago?
But
in
it's
which
less of a risk.
Alternative.
It's less of a risk to take the guy with talent who's played in the past than to take the guy who doesn't have the talent, Mike Richardson or a Ray Ventrone or a guy that has never done anything in the league and you probably don't even think has the measurables to play at that level.
The alternative is Jonathan Wilhite,
who also hasn't played in a month.
I see more upside with Wilhite.
How?
Than what? Rookie, 9-year veteran? Not injury prone?
A 9-year veteran who started, 80 games in his career as opposed to a guy who was a fourth-round draft?
He's played one game in 2 years. I don't see any reason Webster makes the team having done anything.
He missed last year.
He missed last year. So he's had injury problems his whole career. I don't think it's worth the risk, given that he hasn't been here in camp the whole time.
Well, I mean, I'll be surprised. I'm not saying that Will Hite won't make it. I'll be surprised if he makes it instead of
Jason, he can be
Webster,
a practice squad guy. That's fine.
But Will Hite needs to go somewhere to be an NFL starter like Webster has been. I agree that there may be more theoretical upside, that maybe Will Hite in think could be an all-pro.
It's not theoretical. No, I don't mean an all-pro. I just think a better chance to actually contribute for 16 games.
Yeah, I don't know how you take a guy who's never done anything, and some scouting reports had him stinking in college over a guy who's started, as Paul said, played in, 80 or 90 games.
I mean, he's no question Michael's right about his injury past. That's a risk because he has been hurt a lot. But, I mean, to me, you break an arm in the first week of the season, and that's an injury that can happen.
No, it's a freak thing. My point is they are so thin there as it is that I don't want to take guys who are a greater risk to get hurt again and just completely.
But I also think that if you take Webster, I think if you get rid of him, if you cut him, chances are someone's going to pick him up.
Yeah, he'll get signed.
You let go of Will Hite, you're probably going to be able to put him on your practice squad and take him if you need him
later. I'm sure that's a factor, too.
And Lewis Sanders, I think, might factor into some of this somewhere, too.
Possibly.
Well, I was going to say, at least we know what we're getting out of Lewis Sanders because we've seen him play all
I think
camp.
Lewis Sanders has maybe participated in 5 more practices than Webster has. He was out for like the first 2 preseason games. I mean, I think we're splitting hairs in terms of what these guys have done in camp. All 3 of those guys have missed a significant part of training camp.
And regardless of what happens, injury concerns are a problem at corner.
Right.
Because Fernando Bryant is an injury concern. Yeah. Ellis Hobbs is coming back from 2 relatively major procedures and hasn't shown the ability to stay fully healthy at all in the NFL. So virtually every guy you have at corner, you have to worry about getting hurt if that's playing into your
And I am
decisions.
Also making my projections based on these injuries that all 3 of those guys have or had of not being overly serious and not like a torn ligament in the knee or something that the guy's trying to work his way back from, but probably muscle-related things.
Yeah, I mean, Webster did come back yesterday.
Yeah,
so
and I know that Sanders has been back. He played the last game, and I know that Will Hite was back and played the last game too. So those guys are a little bit ahead of Webster in terms of their recovery process, but I think there's more of a track record with Webster than the other 2.
For some reason, I think very little of Lewis Sanders, and I don't know
why.
Well,
I do too. I'll tell you why I do afterward.
Uh-oh. Brent from Illinois writes in, so I was reading Eric's bio. I'm incredibly bored and figured I can't really do anything fun at work, so I'll read his bio. I came across this section and had a question. Quote, in 2008, Scalavino, an avid world traveler, end quote, what would a non-avid world traveler be? Just curious.
Eric? Somebody who has to do it for their job.
Okay.
Who doesn't necessarily want to go.
Okay.
Gets all mad and serious here.
That could be a non-avid world traveler.
So you wrote this about yourself.
Kind of like me, but that wouldn't see worlds because I'd never
read it. Why didn't you write your bio in the first person?
I'm a traveler, but I'm not an avid traveler. I do it for work.
Why did you choose to write your bio in the third person?
You're going
to
laugh when I tell you this, but I thought writing it in the first person would sound more pompous, honestly.
So in other words, were it to think that someone else wrote it about you?
So when it comes to pomposity, you are Chris Ferreira. Whatever you think is wrong.
Well, in fairness, most bios are written in third person.
Written by somebody else.
Yeah, but not on your own website.
On Scalavino.com.
This is his own
website. And
the
movie is called The Movie.
And also, Michael, I know what you're saying, but usually when you write a bio for yourself, you're doing it for somebody else.
That's
not for your own website.
I think it'd be funny
if you're doing it for yourself. You got like 23 hits. They're all our listeners.
Like you've had things like if you speak at a career day or something, they want you to write a bio about yourself.
You see, it's
for someone else.
I look at Eric and he gazes up at the ceiling. He's like, why do I have to put up with these guys?
That's
such
why he
idiots.
Should go to Rook.
They are such morons. Why am I here? I know what's
why
going
you
through
slump?
Your head.
We all have our penance we have to pay.
This is your cross to bear.
Yep.
Okay.
You are all my
So what
cross.
Did you do in your other life that you had to put up with us now? What is it that was
I wish
so
I
bad?
Knew. I wish I knew.
Or Catholic or this Church is the, frowns upon.
This is the punishment.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you said plenty.
Fred, you should let everyone know that we will be at the game on Thursday.
We won't have a show.
We'll not have a show.
Oh, that's right. There
we'll
won't be a show on Thursday. We're going to be in New York.
No live remote.
At the Meadowlands.
We will have a 53-man roster for you next
although,
Tuesday.
Although, if you want, we'll give out Paul's cell phone number. And if you want to call him and ask him a question, you can do that on Thursday.
That's a good idea. A 1-900 line that comes to our cell phones. If they want to know during the game something, they pay $4.99 a minute. Yeah. And our cell phones ring, and we'll give them our immediate reaction.
Or how about we blog?
They can read Bilo's blog.
No. We're not allowed to.
I could just see
We're
it.
Not allowed to blog.
Eric, it's Kamani again. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of the show. We'll be back next week. See you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah, God, yeah!
Patriots.com Radio.